Ironbirds fans, give it up for the hottest pregame show in minor league baseball. It's the Air Show with Michael, Mark Antonini, and Ray. Let's send it down to the field for today's show.
What's up, Ironbirds fans? Another great night here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium as we get set for Game 2 of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Winston-Salem Dash. I'm Michael Mark Antonini alongside my guy Ray Atkinson. Ferris is here with us as well, always helping out with the pregame show. Well, Ray, it's a great night for a ball game here. A little bit of a breeze. The sun is out, light blue skies, and the Birds are coming off their second straight win, a 1-0 win in last night's game, their eighth shutout win of the season.
That it is. I feel like, you know, with the weather and everything like that, we're coordinating pretty well today. It's like we're having a gender reveal party. You think it's a boy, I think it's going to be a girl. That's the way we're coordinating tonight. But fantastic weather here tonight. It was a cold one last night at Leidos Field Ripken Stadium, so it's a little bit more crisp tonight, and I'm digging it.
Yeah, well, I get what you're saying there, Ray. Well, if you're looking to have a gender reveal party here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium, you can email our GM, Jack Graham. I'm sure he would love those emails. Well, Ray, let's talk about that 1-0 win in last night's game for the Ironbirds. It started with Zach Fruit. He was fantastic. Best start of his career, the longest start of his career. He went six innings, like, of course, the no hits, the no runs, struck out four. He was really efficient. He got through those six innings on just 69 pitches. I mean, by far the best start of the season for an Ironbird, and he really set the tone.
Fruit Ninja really set the tone last night, and you love that kind of production out of your starting rotation. The starting rotation for the Ironbirds and pitching in general the last two series has just been dynamic, and they picked up right where they left off against the Greenville Drive. They're delivering against the Winston-Salem Dash.
Yeah, Fruit Ninja, no doubt he was carving up bats all night last night, and of course the power of the stash continues to roll on. Well, Ray, let's talk about that timely hitting for the Ironbirds last night. The Birds had just two hits. They both came in the sixth inning. Jalen Vasquez led off the inning with a single. Doug Hodo moved him into scoring position, and then Aaron Estrada ripped a liner to left field to bring home the game's only run. Excellent timely hitting. The Birds capitalized. And then the bullpen after Fruit. Three scoreless innings. Jared Beck went two. Cooper Chandler picked up his fourth save of the season, pitched the final inning. Overall, a great team win.
And that one run was key, and it was a lot of work to get that one run. You like to see the small ball here in Aberdeen, and they put in the work to get that one run, and it paid off big time.
So as we continue the air show here, I want to get back to doing some player spotlights, and tonight we are going to spotlight Ironbirds right-handed pitcher Zach Fruit. So talking about him earlier in the show, let's get into some more numbers for Fruit this season. So in his last seven games, Zach has posted a 1.38 ERA with an 0.86 whip. Ray, those numbers rank third in the South Atlantic League, both of them, and he has also held opponents to a 1.11 batting average in his last seven games. That's the best in the South Atlantic League.
Yeah, Zach Fruit been dynamic all season long. And lately, he's just been, you know, clicking. He has figured it out here at High A, and he's a great asset to South Atlantic League. And you're going to see him go deep into games later on the season and maybe possibly playoffs.
Yeah, three of his outings in his last seven are scoreless, four of which he has not allowed an earned run. So he continues to do his thing. Well, Ray, that'll do it for another edition of the Air Show. We got our guy Ferris behind us. Appreciate you guys Ironbirds fans tuning in. He's Ray Atkinson. I'm Michael Mark Antonini. Let's have some fun tonight, Birds fans, as we go for three wins in a row. First pitch coming up at 7:05. And as always, let's fly.
Fans, turn your attention to the pitcher's mound for tonight's first pitch. Please give a warm Leidos Field welcome to Juliana Dos Santos. Juliana, it's your pitch. That is a pass ball on Ferris. Otherwise, that was well done. Give it up for him, fans.
Yeah!
It's another beautiful night for a ball game here in Aberdeen, Maryland, as we get set to play game two of a six-game series between your Aberdeen Ironbirds and the visiting Winston-Salem Dash. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Mark Cantonini, live from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Should be a good one tonight here in the Dean. A really nice night weather-wise. A little bit warmer than last night. Last night was just straight-up winter in summer. I mean, we did not need it to be that cold, but tonight, temperatures up to a respectable degree. Sun is shining, light blue skies off in the distance, a little bit of a breeze, and the Birds are going for their third straight win. Well, Ironbirds fans, the Birds come into tonight's game 59-56 overall. They are 25-24 in the second half, just a game and a half out of a playoff spot. On the flip side, the Dash are 54-61 overall, and they are 23-26 in half number two. Well, I'll get you the starting lineups and the pitching matchup after the national anthem. But first, Ironbirds fans, I want to introduce another guest in my Guest in the Booth series this season. It's a name, a face, and a voice that you should recognize, not only from what he's doing in the sports media world, but also because he's joined me before. I'm pleased to welcome back my first guest of the season from April 24th, my guy Zach Bollinger from the Ryan Ripken Show. Zach, thanks so much for being here, man.
Thanks for having me back. And like you said, I'm glad the temperature rose a little bit for today. It did feel like winter and summer yesterday, but talk about just beautiful weather to play some baseball tonight.
Yeah, this is prime for this time of year, mid-August. The Birds are in a playoff chase right now. The postseason chase is on, and I really think that's all you can ask for, be playing meaningful baseball late in the season. Well, Zach, the last time you were here, the Ironbirds took home a 5-4 win. And first off, you got the W. You put up 5 runs on that Guest in the Booth runs leaderboard. So it was a good night for you at the office. You were my first guest of the season, so I always tell people, like, you know, if there's tiebreakers, I got to give it to, you know, the first guest of the season, because you came in here and really set the tone for all the other guests.
Yeah, and, you know, tonight I'm happy with the 5-run performance. Obviously, you love a win from the Ironbirds, but would love to put up 6-7 runs tonight. Just work my way up that leaderboard a little bit more.
Well, the last time you were here, Levi Wells was on the mound for the Birds. He is starting tonight, so that is the Ironbird starter tonight. We'll talk a little bit more about him on the flip side of the national anthem. But, Zach, the last time you were here, we were basically wearing the same shirt. And tonight I'm wearing the same shirt that I was wearing that night. I've got my light blue Under Armour golf shirt on. You had also a light blue Under Armour golf shirt that night, and we were like, that's crazy that we just did this. Like, you know, didn't plan it or anything. Tonight you're not wearing the same shirt, but you've got light blue on. So we've kind of got that mind thing going right now.
Yeah, and funny enough, I actually almost grabbed that same exact blue polo, and I was like, you know what? I feel like we will be matching once again. So decided, although, honestly, maybe I should have kept it.
See, well, I was going to grab another shirt, and then I'm like, you know what? Why don't I just wear this one and see if he's thinking the same thing?
Yeah.
And
it was in my head. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was a little frazzled.
It was one of those, it's like, do I grab it? Do I not? Either way.
Yeah.
But I went with it. But either way, it's great to have you here, Zach. So I know I mentioned that you are one of the co-hosts of the Ryan Ripken Show. We talked a lot about you and what you're doing with the Ryan Ripken Show the last time you were here. But it's been a while. I mean, April to August, a lot has changed. And you guys are just crazy busy. I had the pleasure of coming on as a guest for the first time a couple months ago, you know, just calling in on the video call. But I got to join the show in person in your studio in Baltimore a couple days ago. So just give the fans at home a rundown of what's happened lately and what's going on with you guys.
Yeah, first, it's absolutely crazy that it's already August. I mean, it feels like literally yesterday I was sitting in here in April. But yeah, we've been doing a lot of stuff. I do post-game shows for Kevin and Zach Reacts, which is a part of the Ryan Ripken Media. Do that after every single Oriole game. And then Monday and Thursdays, we have the Ryan Ripken Show. That's where we have guests. Usually we bring in some former players, reporters from other teams, and really try to give you a good outlook on what's going on. It's particularly in Baltimore, but just the sports world as a whole.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I had a blast, you know, the two times that I came on the show, and like I said, I was in studio in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Finally got to see where you guys are doing the show from on a weekly basis. I mean, it's a pretty sweet studio you got there, and I know there are big plans for it.
Yeah, it is. It's a really nice spot, and it's only going to improve as the weeks go on. Hopefully within the next month, it's going to look a whole lot different.
Yeah. I mean, just hearing all the plans that you guys have, and it's really cool to hear you guys so excited about the plans that you have, not only for the studio, but the show in general. And I know I was talking to Brad Smith, your other co-host, who was in here during the last home series this past Friday, and he was saying how big of plans that you guys have for football season. Didn't want to give too many away, but if you want to tell our audience some of the plans that you can talk about for football season. Feel free.
Yeah, so, I mean, it all starts with, I'm going to say, still Monday, Thursday, we're going to still have our regular shows, but now we're going to add some pregame shows on Sunday before each football game. Maybe we're going to do some giveaways. We're going to be out in the tailgate lots. There's going to be a lot of fun to be had during football season. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, out in the tailgate lots. I heard that, and I'm like, all right,
yeah,
let's lock it in. That's
oh, yeah.
Awesome. But we'll hear more from Zach throughout the broadcast tonight. We're going to take a quick break for the national anthem here in Aberdeen, so I'll let you listen to that on the crowd mic. And on the flip side of the anthem break, we'll get you the starting lineups and the pitching matchup here in Aberdeen. Game two of a six-game series between the Ironbirds and the Dashbirds going for their third straight win. So now we'll take a break for that anthem. Just a couple minutes away from baseball here in Aberdeen, Maryland. Michael Mark Cantonini and Zach Bollinger with you on the call tonight for the Ironbirds and the Dash going at it in game two of a six-game series. The Birds a game over 500 in the second half and just a game and a half out of first place in the North Division standings. They are in a playoff chase with just 17 regular season games left, so it is crunch time here in mid-August. Talk about September baseball in the major leagues. Well, this is what August baseball is like in the minors. Well, right-hander Levi Wells gets the ball for the Birds tonight, and this is how the Birds will line up behind him. Leading off at second base, Aaron Estrada, batting second. The left fielder, Tomas Sosa. Elio Prado's the right fielder. He bats third. Creed Willems is in the four-hole, DHing. Jake Cunningham bats fifth in center field. Carter Young, the shortstop, is in the sixth spot. Anderson De Los Santos is at third base, batting seventh. Adam Retzbach doing the catching for Wells. He's batting eighth and rounding out the lineup, batting ninth. It's the first baseman, Noel Berth Romero. So Levi Wells continues his warm-up tosses, and this is the lineup that he will face for the Winston-Salem Dash. Leading off in left field, Riku Nishida, batting second, the second baseman, Lloyd L. Schiappelli. Caden Connors, the designated hitter, he bats third with Ryan Galini, the first baseman, in the four spot. Wes Kath is over at third base, batting fifth. Casey Saukey is in right field, batting sixth. Calvin Harris doing the catching in the seventh spot. Eddie Park, the center fielder, bats eighth, and Jordan Sprinkle is the shortstop, batting ninth. And the Dash will turn to left-hander Lucas Gordon here tonight. So a righty for the Birds, a lefty for the Dash. Wells continuing his warm-up tosses. I want to bring Zach Bollinger back into the conversation, one of the co-hosts of the Ryan Ripken Show. Zach, going for another W tonight, looking to make it 2-0 here. Joining me in the booth, my first guest of the season. You are back here with the Birds in a playoff hunt.
Yeah, and I like how you put that. Birds in a playoff hunt, beautiful night in Aberdeen at the Dean. Where else would you rather be? Meaningful minor league baseball.
Where else would you rather be? The answer is nowhere.
Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. I'm excited for tonight. I'm hoping the Birds can put on another show and move me to 2-0 on the air. Yeah.
Well, the Birds are rocking their light blue alternate home jerseys, so they're matching with us up here in
the
broadcast booth.
A lot of light blue going on here.
Yeah, so white pants, light blue hats with the Crab logo on the front. On the flip side, the Dash rocking the road gray tops and bottoms. So here is Riku Nishida, the left-handed swinging left fielder. He was in the infield last night. First pitch he sees tonight from Levi Wells is over for a strike, and we are underway here in Aberdeen. Game two of a six-game set. Birds won 1-0 last night. And now Nishida, Schiappelli, and Connor will try to get things going for the Dash. Wells out of the windup. Here's his 0-1 pitch. That's outside. Wells is 6 feet 2 inches tall, 22 years old, in his first pro season out of Texas State. Fourth-round pick last year by the O's. 18th start of the season for Wells. He has logged 46 2/3 innings of work. 1-1, fouled back. 61 strikeouts in those 46 and two-thirds for Wells, striking out almost 12 batters per nine. And his four-pitch mix features a fastball, a changeup, a curveball, and a slider. Well, Zach, you saw him the last time you were here, and he looked really good that night, six strikeouts.
Yeah, and, you know, you talked about striking out almost 12 per nine, and he's just a guy like we see right there.
As picks up one right there.
Picks up one on cue. I mean, I love it when Wells knows we're talking about the strikeouts and gets one for us. But when he has the strikeout ball working, that is when he's most dominant. That is what we're going to look for from him and really what the Birds are going to want to see tonight.
Well, I kind of set that one up. I just had a feeling he was going to blow Nishida away there. He did. Fastball hideaway. Nishida chased. And it's a good start for Levi Wells. One up, one down. Here's Schiappelli, who did not play last night. He swings and misses at the first pitch. So Wells, a couple big swings and misses early. He's out there throwing strikes.
And that's the biggest thing is, you know, especially when you're a strikeout pitcher, you want to be throwing strikes and then be able to expand the zone. And that's going to be the biggest thing is limiting those walks, trying to get swings out of the zone, but also just throwing consistent strikes so guys are forced to expand it.
Right. And Nishida's a contact here. He does not strike out much, and we saw him go down on that fastball there. And he's a guy who doesn't expand the zone much, but he did. So now the 1-1 from Wells, swing and a miss. Wow, the fastball looks fantastic tonight. Mid-90s with the heater. And this is not nibble on the corners or top or bottom of the zone. This is go right at you down the chute.
Yeah, this is power versus power. He's saying, this is my best stuff. If you can hit it, come do it.
So Schiappelli in a 1-2 hole. He stepped out to try to regroup. Wells looks locked in tonight. He takes the sign from his catcher, Retzbach. And the 1-2 pitch. Got him. Half-hearted check swing. Schiappelli went around. And it's back-to-back strikeouts for Levi Wells to start his night. Let's quickly set the defense for the Ironbirds. Adam Retzbach is catching for Wells with Anderson De Los Santos at third, Carter Young at short, Aaron Estrada at second, and Noelbert Romero at first. In the outfield, Tomas Sosa in left, Jake Cunningham in center, and Elio Prado in right. So two gone, no one on. Here is Caden Connor, the DH. He had two of the three hits for Winston-Salem last night. Just five combined hits in the game. First pitch strike. I mean, right now it's too easy for him, Zach.
Yeah, and this is exactly, you know, we talked about earlier right before we got on, and just as this inning started, you want to see Wells throwing strikes, getting that strikeout ball, getting to two strikes without expanding the pitch count without really raising that too much.
A one outside, and that's when Wells can get into some trouble, when the pitch count gets elevated early on in outings. And there's a reason that he's only thrown 46 and two-thirds this year. Of course, he did miss a little time with an injury, but that pitch count gets high.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, these guys are not going 90, 100 pitches every night like the big leagues. It's a lot different here. As he gets another swing and a miss, it's 1-2.
Yeah, and what I've been noticing, it seems like that second pitch each time he's getting ahead with the first pitch strike, then he's seeing if they'll nibble outside the zone, then he's going right back at them with another strike pitch. And it's just he's throwing his power stuff right now. He's saying best on best, I know what I can throw. Try to hit it if you can, and so far, they haven't hit it.
Looking to strike out the side in order here in the top of the first. Wells is ready, out of the windup, 1-2, got him. Fastball up top, and it's three straight strikeouts for Levi Wells to start this game tonight. Well, he looks fantastic, one of the better innings that he has thrown all season, and he throws up a goose egg in the run column to start this one. No score after a half inning of play. We will go to the bottom of the first and see if the Birds can jump on the board first tonight. Keep it locked on MILB TV and Bally Live. Bottom of the first inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. No score after a half inning of play. Iron Bird starter Levi Wells retired the side in order. Three straight strikeouts to start his night. He did it on 12 pitches. And now we go to the home half of the first. The Iron Birds set to face Winston-Salem left-hander Lucas Gordon. And it's Aaron Estrada, Tomas Sosa, and Elio Prado, the top three in the order. Estrada is switch hitter batting from the right side. First pitch of the night from the southpaw. Gordon misses up and in. Zach, how good was Levi Wells in the top of the first?
Man, and that is as good as – that's exactly what this team wanted to see. Right out of the chute, you get Levi throwing the explosive fastball, throwing it by guys, getting swings and misses. That was a picture-perfect inning for Levi Wells.
1-0 fouled away to the right side. Count is 1-1 on Estrada, who drove in the game's only run last night in the bottom of the sixth inning. Birds won 1-0. But, man, I think every time out I talk about – like how good Levi Wells' stuff is, how electric that fastball is. It's just about putting it all together. And then that first inning he did. Here's a ground ball to third. Kath has it, throws across the diamond to first. And it's one up, one down for Lucas Gordon. Let's set the defense for Winston-Salem. Calvin Harris is catching tonight with Wes Kath at third, Jordan Sprinkle at short, Lloyd L. Chappelli at second, and Ryan Galini at first. In the outfield, Riku Nishida is in left, Eddie Park is in center, and Casey Saukey is in right. So one up, one down on a couple of pitches. Estrada gone. Here is Tomas Sosa. Birds trying to strike first. Swings at the first pitch. Fouls it back. And, Zach, this is a much different roster from the last time that you were here before the game. I was looking at the box score from the first game that you came to, and most of those guys are gone, you know, moving up to Double A. Some guys are hurt. Some guys got traded. But a very new-look squad.
Yeah, and actually one of the guys I'm most excited to see is Tomas Sosa, and just kind of see he's been one of the, I would say, risers in the Orioles system as of late, especially this year, kind of still very young, very raw, but he's got all the makings to be a very good ball player, so very excited to see him.
Left on left for Sosa, who's struggling early on. 1-1 sends it to deep right center field. Park ranging back. He can't get it. It's over his head. It one hops off the top of the wall. Sosa was thinking three, but he stops at two. It's a one-out double for Tomas Sosa. Right on cue, Zach, talking about this guy's potential and how he is turning heads in the organization. He gave that one a ride.
Yeah, and he's a guy who's he's always had line drive power, but the thing has always been he was so young, he hasn't grown into the power yet. He's really started to do that over this season, and that was just another example. Gets the pitch in the wheelhouse, and he doesn't miss it, which is what you want to see from these young guys.
Yeah, Tomas Sosa, he's still a teenager. He's 19 years old. The dude was born in 2005.
Oh, okay. That is.
That stings that, a little
yeah,
bit for
that
us
was,
up
that
here.
Was, I was not ready for that to happen.
Runner at second. Here's Prado. Check swing. Did he go around? No. And the count is 1-0. No score, bottom one, but Sosa is at second base with one down. The Birds are threatening early. A first-inning run or multiple first-inning runs would be huge for this squad as they look to get going with the bats. Here's Prado struggling lately. Swing and a miss there. And the count is 1-1. But, I mean, that's just easy power to center field right there. And, I mean, it's 404. Out to that sign, he hit it maybe 396, 397.
Yeah, and it was easy power. It wasn't like he tried it, just it bounced off the bat and pretty much just carried from there.
Well, now he just took off for third, and he's there ahead of the throw. Tomas Sosa swipes a bag, and that is a big stolen base historically for the Ironbirds. They did not have any last night, but with that stolen base right there, that gives them 326 stolen bases on the season, which ties the 2017 Lancaster Jethawks for the most overall in a year, counting the playoffs. Pitch misses high there to Elio Prado, and the count is 3-1.
Yeah, and that's a massive steal there because you're sitting here with one out. Now you don't necessarily need a hit to get Sosa in. Just a productive out can get the run in, whether it be a ground ball or a fly out.
Next pitch to Prado misses outside, and it's a five-pitch walk. Mm-hmm. So first and third now for the Ironbirds. So Sosa with the stolen base after the double. Prado finds his way on, and that brings up Creed Willems, who, Zach, the last time you were here, Willems was in the middle of a tear that ended in a South Atlantic League Player of the Month honor. He also had a Player of the Week honor in April of this year. So, I mean, this is a guy who really can get it done with the bat.
Yeah, and that's never been a question. The bat has always been something. As we get another steal attempt,
Prado took off for second. The throw is a little offline, and the tag apparently missed as well from the shortstop, Jordan Sprinkle. And now Guillermo Quiroz, the manager for the Dash, is right out of the dugout to chat with the umpiring crew. Right now he's talking to the base umpire, Cass Cousins. Nick Mull is the home plate umpire, and Quiroz wants an explanation. And Zach, he's saying that the shortstop Sprinkle tagged Prado somewhere on that back leg, the foot area, as he was as he started his head first dive. But the call is safe. So right now it's second and third with one out.
Yeah, and you know that at the end of the day, call safe. And from our angle, it looked close. It looked like the ball definitely beat him, but it was whether or not he was able to get the tag down on that back leg before he reached the base. The only opinion in the ballpark that matters said he did not. So we're going to get second and third. But another just stolen base, putting pressure on. Now you got two guys on with one out, two in scoring position.
Pitch misses outside to Willems, and it's 2-0 quickly. So a good start to the Ironbirds. No score in this game yet, but second and third with one out in the bottom of the first.
Yeah, and if you're Lucas Gordon, this is not where you want to find yourself early. You definitely are looking for some sort of strikeout here, trying not to give up damage.
Willems
and just
lines
on
one
cue.
To the left. One run is in, and the stop sign thrown up. Prado stays at third, but it's an RBI single for Creed Willems. Sosa in to score. RBI number 51 on the year for Willems. It's 1-0 Ironbirds. Well, Zach, I said it in between innings. I told you, I said, you know, a three spot in the bottom of the first would do wonders for this team. I mean, right now, one is in, two are on with only one out. I mean, that's huge, especially after what Wells did in the top half of the inning.
Yeah, and that's a way that you can pick up your pitcher. Like you said, Wells is a guy that you want to see him taking those steps. The stuff has never necessarily been a question. He's always had that elite stuff, especially with a powerful fastball. So for him to go out there, dominate like he did in the first inning, you love to see the offense go right out there and say, hey, you pitch like that, we're going to give you support, let's go win this ball game. And you're looking for more runs here. Yeah, one run is nice, but you want to really kind of put some separation between you and them right now.
So first and third for the Ironbirds. Here is the reigning South Atlantic League Player of the Week, Jake Cunningham, playing in just his seventh game at the high A level. Big hole on the right side for him. Double played up the middle for the Dash. The pitch from the lefty Gordon misses outside. And the count is 1-0. Gordon was a sixth-round pick out of the University of Texas last summer. He throws a fastball, a slider, and a changeup. Just 22 years old in his second pro season. Look over at first, 1-0 to Cunningham. Got him with a breaking ball inside. Gordon was a college teammate of Ironbirds outfielder Douglas Hodo III, who is not playing tonight, but we'll see if he gets a chance to hit against his former teammate this week. Counts 1-1 on Cunningham. Takes low and away. Well, Zach, Cunningham, in his first six games at high A, he's gone three hits, no hits, three hits, no hits, three hits, no hits. I think it's a three-hit night for him tonight.
If we follow that logic, I would absolutely love it. I don't think anyone, especially Jay Cunningham, would be against a three-hit game.
Here's the 2-1 from Gordon, fouled away. I mean, I think that's the trend has to continue. Now, of course,
yeah,
the
nights baseball.
The nights where he takes the over, of course, I mean, you know, we're looking to limit those. But if the trend would continue for one more night.
That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun.
I will take that.
Without a doubt. And you're looking to just put the ball in play here. Obviously, Gordon's looking for a strikeout or a ground ball double play. If you're the Ironbirds, you want to get this run in, whether it is a fly out for a sack fly, just putting it in play somehow, or a hit. I think we'd all prefer a hit. You know, get one-third of the three-hit game out of the way early. But, yeah, this is a big at-bat early for both sides.
Snap throw to first. Willems dives back in, and Prado took an extra step off a third there. It's 1-0 Ironbirds in the bottom of the first inning. Creed Willems' RBI single has put the Birds up 1-0. Birds scored just one run last night. It's all they needed. A 1-0 victory for their eighth shutout W of the year. Gordon's 3-2, ripped to the left center field gap. That's down, should be extra bases. Prado jogs home from third. Willems going first to third, and Jake Cunningham pulls in at second. It's an RBI two-bagger with swagger for Jake Cunningham, and it's 2-0 Ironbirds.
One-third of the way there. One-third of the way there, and as a parting gift, you can also get an RBI. Absolutely love it. Great at-bat there by Jake Cunningham as well. Works the count, gets ahead early, and then he's not waiting. He's not chasing pitches out of the zone. Patient, that 2-2 pitch in the dirt, lays off of it, and then 3-2 knows he has to throw him a strike or he loads the bases, gets one over the plate, and he doesn't miss it.
He absolutely smoked that ball to the left center field gap. I mean, he, you know, as good of a swing as you're going to see, he was locked in, barreled it up as Carter Young takes ball one, a little bit high there from Gordon. 2-0 Birds, runners at second and third, and they are threatening for more. So here is Young, who is no longer switch hitting, at least for the rest of this year. He's only going to bat left-handed. So he's going left on left here. 1-0, that's in for a strike. It's 1-1. And I talked to Carter during batting practice yesterday, and he said it's something that he thought about before the season, scrapping the right-handed swing and just going lefty. He's actually a natural right-handed hitter. He didn't bat lefty for the first time until he was 10 years old and didn't really stick with switch hitting until high school. He swings and misses there. It's 1-2. But left-handed swing is just feeling a little bit better for him. And he wasn't getting as many at-bats right-handed because, of course, as a switch hitter, most of your at-bats are going to be against right-handed pitching, which means you bat lefty. So he's just feeling more comfortable with the left-handed swing right now, and he's sticking with it.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen it, guys like Cedric Mullins, how their careers completely changed after going from switch hitter to just focusing on being a lefty. And I like it. You know, as a switch hitter, you have to either, one, you're taking double the amount of BP, mm-hmm. or you have to take less BP on one side because you are splitting that up between you need to focus on your right-handed swing and your left-handed swing. It's a lot of maintenance, so I'm not against this at all.
2-2, fouled back. I mean, really, it's just about getting these guys comfortable. So, mm-hmm. hey, look, you know, it's not something that is a definite long-term change. But yeah. Carter said, yeah, at least for the rest of this season, which at the least will be 17 more games. You know, of course, playoffs a possibility. But just going to see how it goes the rest of the way. Here's the 2-2, swing and a miss. Ball in the dirt. First base unoccupied, so they got to throw down. Strikeout and a 2-3 putout. So Young is retired. But, Zach, what caught my attention, though, is the fact that he's a natural right-handed hitter. Like, he started when he played baseball. He started hitting right-handed. So normally I think when you see a switch hitter stop switch hitting, they just go back to their natural mm-hmm. hand and start, you know, if it's a natural lefty, he'll bat lefty kind of thing. But he's a natural righty, sticking with the lefty swing.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I've ever seen that, but I love the idea behind it of he feels comfortable swinging lefty, so if it feels good, don't fix it.
Here's the deep fly ball to right center field off the bat of De Los Santos, and the center fielder Eddie Park runs it down, and the inning is over. Well, the Birds left a couple in scoring position. They had him there with one out and didn't get him in, but they did put up a two spot, an RBI single from Creed Willems, an RBI double from Jake Cunningham, and it's 2-0 Birds after one here in the Dean. We'll head to the top of the second, see what Levi Wells does for an encore when we come back on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Two nothing Iron Birds over the dash. We go to the top of the second inning here in Aberdeen. Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger with you on the call. Levi Wells got through the first on 12 pitches. He threw 9 strikes. And all 9 strikes were important because he struck out the side in order. Got Nishida, Schiappelli, and Connor all swinging. And now he gets cleanup man Ryan Galaney. First pitch right on right from Wells. Slashed foul to the right side. Quickly 0-1. There you have it, Zach, getting ahead of yet another hitter.
Yeah, and that's been the important part. Important part is he's been ahead of every single hitter, and it's allowed him to then nibble on the corners. It then allows him to see if they'll expand the zone, and he takes control of the at-bat.
Wells with a deep breath out on the hill. His 0-1 to Schapelli. Fly ball to right field straight away for Prado, and he's camped under it to make the catch. One up, one down here in the second. And it's four up, four down overall. Well, he's not going to strike out every batter he faces tonight.
I was just going to say, I guess we will not be having a 27-batter strikeout game, but I don't think I guess we can take that. 26 would be cool as well.
Here's the left-handed hitting third baseman, Wes Kath.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I think the Ironbirds would take a two-pitch at-bat over a strikeout.
Yeah.
You know, they want Wells to go deeper into games, stuff like that, and it's about keeping that pitch count down, you know, not letting it, even if you are a strikeout pitcher, sometimes that can elevate the pitch count extremely fast in games. So 12 pitches in the first inning, then you come out two pitch out immediately. You got to be feeling good on the mound right now if you're Wells.
First pitch foul down the right field line. The count is 0-1 on Kath, so Wells ahead of each of the first five hitters he's faced tonight. Looking for another 1-2-3 frame, now working with a 2-0 lead. 0-1, looked like a changeup right there, and Kath was way out in front. I mean, it's been mainly fastball early on, but this guy's got a good four-pitch mix. Why not?
Yeah, and it was pretty obvious Kath was looking fastball there. Did not seem like that changeup. He was very uncomfortable with it, gave kind of a half-hearted swing, realizing that, ooh, that is not the pitch I thought was coming.
Here comes the 0-2 from Wells. Slashed foul down the left field line this time. Count stays where it is. Well, the Ironbirds in the series against the Greenville Drive last week posted a 2.83 ERA. An opponent's hit just 1.60 last week. And then yesterday, three pitchers combined for a shutout, allowing just three hits. 0-2 again from Wells, low and in the dirt. So this is a pitching staff that's on an absolute tear right now.
And that's why you want Wells to go out there and continue it, you know. These are those moments where you just keep passing the baton. One guy to the next, it really makes it easier if the whole unit is just passing it off to the next guy. And it gains confidence to everyone in the pitching staff.
It's no doubt that they're feeding off of each other. Here's the 1-2, swing and a miss. Nasty breaking ball there. A hop skip off the mound there from Wells. And that's his fourth strikeout.
Man, it is working right now. He's gotten a few guys with the fastball. Right there goes off speed, and it fools Kath completely once again. So, hey, if you're going to get the first five guys and four of them are strikeouts, you usually have pretty decent stuff that night.
Think about that at bat. He was late on a couple of fastballs. Here's the first pitch to Casey Saukey, the second baseman. Blooper out to shallow right, but Estrada is there to make the catch. And the inning is over. Another 1-2-3 frame for Levi Wells. Fly out, strike out, pop out. Pitch count stays down, and he throws up another 0. 2-0 Birds after an inning and a half. We'll go to the bottom of the second after this on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Nothing Ironbirds over the dash, bottom of the second inning here from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Levi Wells has gone six up, six down tonight on just 20 pitches. He has four strikeouts, and he is really, really keeping the dash at bay. Now we go to the home second. It's Adam Retzbach, Noel Berth Romero, and Aaron Estrada. 8-9-1 for the Birds. Zach, The Birds sent seven to the plate in the first inning. They did leave two runners, but they brought two in, three hits, two extra base hits.
Yeah, and the ball was flying here. Even that last out was really struck well by De Los Santos. So you just want to build off of that in the next inning, especially here. You want to, after Wells had a very efficient second, go get the guy some more runs. Continue to build that confidence that he has to just say, hey, go out, do your thing. We're going to have your back.
A 1 to Retzbach. That's in for a strike. It's quickly 0-2 on the Ironbirds catcher. Retz did not play last night. Back in there tonight. Lefty Lucas Gordon back to work for Winston-Salem. This is his seventh start with the dash. He has a 3.38 ERA and 26 and two-thirds innings of work. 23 strikeouts coming in. He picked up one in the first. Next pitch to Retzbach. Flip foul out of play to the right side. Birds lead it 2-0, looking for more. Gordon holding opponents to a .200 batting average in his six starts at high A. He was promoted to Winston-Salem on July 9th, but had really good numbers with low A Kannapolis in the Carolina League before the promotion. Now the 0-2 coming up to Retzbach, low and away.
And the biggest thing is the Birds are just having some quality at-bats. Even in the outs that they are giving up, they've worked the count. They've gone out there. They're not swinging at junk in the dirt, and they are really making Gordon work for every out.
Ground ball off the hands to the left side. The third baseman, Kath, cuts it off. Low throw to first, but picked by Galaney. And Retzbach is retired for the first out. That brings up Noel Berth Romero. So the numbers for Gordon in low A before the promotion, 14 starts. He held opponents to a .173 batting average, and he had a .189 ERA. So that's getting the job done. Less than a strikeout per inning, so he's pitching to contact. And it worked for him. So here's Romero. First pitch to the first baseman is in for a strike. Count is 0-1. Birds lead it 2-0, bottom two.
And this is a spot where you just want Romero to find something. Find grass somewhere. Really start out this rally again for the guys. As takes a shot down the foul, just down the third base line. You like to see that, though. Hard contact. It's kind of been the theme of tonight so far for the Ironbirds. Whether it's been an out or it's been a hit, the guys are laying a good bat on the ball right now.
Yeah, the third baseman, Kath, is off the line for Romero. Interesting to see him playing that far off for a right-handed batter. 0-2. Out to right field. Here comes Saukie. He makes the catch. Two gone. Well, Zach, I mean, to get two runs in the first inning with as hard as it's been for this Ironbirds roster to put up runs, I mean, that's huge. And I think the guys can just kind of relax a little bit, breathe a little easier, because there were some games last week where, you know, two shutout losses, mm-hmm. one game where they didn't score until the eighth inning, and another game where they only had one run until the eighth inning. So this is a great start.
Yeah, this is what you want from your offense. Show some confidence. Kind of get it going early, because this is the thing that can kind of where momentum snowballs throughout the game. You want to get ahead and stay ahead and really show up to the opportunity, because right now, up 2-0, Wells is pitching fantastic so far. This is a great opportunity for the Birds to go out there, put up another 2-3 spot in the next inning or so, and really kind of put some separation in this game.
So here's Estrada. Count is 2-0 on him. Next pitch, that's downstairs. Estrada bounced out his first time up before the next four batters reached safely for the Birds. And that's how that first inning rally happened. Now the 3-0 from Gordon. That's outside, ball four. Well, in the 1-0 shutout win for the Birds last night, these two teams completed the game in an hour and 59 minutes, which is the fastest game that the Ironbirds have played this season, fastest nine-inning game. Their previous shortest nine-inning game this year was back on April 25th, the day after you were here, Zach,
wow.
against the Jersey Shore Blue Claws. That game ended in 2 hours and 6 minutes, but 1:59 last night. Got home a little early, was well-rested for this broadcast with you, my man.
I was going to say, man, there's so much time after that to do whatever. This is, you love short baseball games, but at the same time, sometimes under 2 hours, you're like, you got to enjoy the game. You're like, come on, let's slow it down, guys.
It wasn't even dark yet when the game ended,
I know.
It felt like. Counts 1-0. Look over at first. Now to the plate. Pitch from Gordon to Sosa just off the plate.
Ooh. You really want that if you're Gordon. You want that call, but you're sitting here. This is, what, six straight balls now?
Yeah.
So you need to find an out, need to find a strike somewhere. And if you're Sosa, you're looking in your wheelhouse and you're not swinging at anything else.
So here's the 2-0 to Sosa. Breaking ball sent in the air, shallow right center. Sauke is in, and he makes the catch on the run. And the inning is over. Not a 1-2-3 inning for Gordon, but he faces just four. He doesn't allow a hit, and he does not allow a run either. But the Birds still lead it 2-0 after two. We'll head to the top of the third inning after this on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. We move to the top of the third inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Six up, six down for Levi Wells so far tonight. He's back out there for the third with a 2-0 lead. The Birds grabbed two runs on three hits in the bottom of the first. And that score still holds. Here's Calvin Harris, the catcher. First pitch to the left-handed swinger is in for a strike. And the count is 0-1. So Harris, Park, and Sprinkle. The bottom three in the order. Four strikeouts for Wells so far. Just two balls put in play, a flyout and a pop-out.
And once again, getting ahead of the count, exactly what you want to see from Wells.
A one rip to the right side. Nice diving pick by Romero. Gets up, flips to first, and Wells is there to cover. 3-1 on the putout. Not really a dive from Romero, kind of a slide. I guess that was the word that I was looking for, but a really hot shot at him, and he picked it.
Another quick at-bat, two pitches. This is exactly what you want to see from Levi Wells. The strikeouts are cool, strikeouts are fun, but so are efficient outs at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, you brought it up in the last inning, how, you know, that fly out to right to start the inning, you know, that's, yeah, I mean, strikeouts are cool, but, you know, if you can get an out on one or two pitches instead of three or four or five with a strikeout, then that's huge. And we talked about it in the first inning. Wells has struggled at times to keep the pitch count down. That's why, you know, he's only gone four-plus innings four times this year out of his 17 starts. So It's great to see him getting those quick outs.
Yeah, and you just want to keep seeing him build on this.
1-0 to Eddie Park. It's in for a strike, and the count is 1-1. Birds up 2-0. Wells has had a really solid August. In three appearances in August, he's allowed just two earned runs and 5 1/3 with seven strikeouts and just one walk. And tonight, four strikeouts and no walks. Now the 1-1 from Levi. Hot shot to short. Nice backhand stab by Young across the diamond to first. And it's two up, two down here in the third.
Man, this is just as perfect of a start to the game as Levi could have asked for. You're getting efficient outs. You've shown off the strikeout. You can know that you can get guys out with that. But as we keep saying, right now, it's really important to him to go a little bit deeper into games. You would love to see a 4-5-inning start here. So if he can get that, that's really best-case scenario for him.
Two gone, no one on. Here's Jordan Sprinkle, the shortstop. Fouls one away, and the count's 0-1.
I will just have to say, Jordan Sprinkle, favorite name in the lineup tonight.
Great name.
Incredible name. The second I saw him on the lineup sheet, I was like, okay, Jordan Sprinkle, that screams star.
Here's the 0-1 pitch to Sprinkle. Hot shot to third, past the diving De Los Santos into left field. It ricochets off the padded wall in foul territory. Sosa picks it up in left. Here's the throw into second. It's a little late, and it's a two-out double for Jordan Sprinkle. Zach, that was inches away from finding Anderson De Los Santos' glove, but it turns out into a double.
Yeah, I mean, when you compliment the guy's name too much, I guess we gave him the power to go and get the first hit of the day. So now we get to see how Wells performs out of the stretch and what he's going to do with the guy on second in scoring position. Two outs, so you're looking for that final out. And this is a big moment where you want Wells to just quickly get this out. You don't want more traffic getting on base and the potential for a big inning to happen.
First base runner of the game for the dash back to the top of the order for Riku Nishida. Birds lead at 2-0. Runner at second with two down. Swing and a miss there. It's 0-1. Well, Zach, you know, early on looking good. 8 up, 8 down. We had a little perfect game bid going there.
Yeah.
And not that we expected there to be a perfect game, but the reason we bring it up is because your buddy Kevin Ostreicher, when he was here on July 19th, was a part of the combined no-hitter here in Aberdeen. So you were looking for a perfect game to better that.
Yeah, I get Kevin. Kevin can rest easy now knowing that the no-hitter is safe, but now we're just going to have to win in the run column. Going to need the Birds to come out and put up an 8-10 spot now to really just separate myself on this leaderboard.
Yeah, and hey, can never have enough runs. Counts 0-1 on Riku Nishida. Defensive swing slaps it over towards the third base dugout. It's 0-2. But I'm glad you brought up Wells working out of the stretch for the first time tonight because, hey, look, you know, if you can work out of the windup all night, you're doing something right. But, of course, getting some work in this way, good to see him. And we'll see what we get bouncing back from that double. So no balls and two strikes on Nishida. Wells steps off, looks at second. Wells last pitched on August 15th last week against Greenville. Went just 2 1/3, so he's already past that.
And Nishida with a very kind of protective swing. He's trying not to strike out right now.
No balls and two strikes. Pitch from Wells way inside, and Nishida dropped his bat there as he tried to get out of the way, and I guess he did avoid it.
I don't know how he avoided that, but it did happen. That was very, very close, especially coming in that fast. You do not usually get out of the way of those. So good for him to get out of the way. I probably would be on the ground right now in a lot of pain.
But you'd be on first base, though.
That is true. The OB pick.
1-2. Slapped out to third. De Los Santos has it. High throw to first. Romero tried to apply the tag. He did. And the inning is over. Well, the Dasher not thrilled with that call, but for now the inning is over. A 5-3 put out. Nice job by Noelberth Romero to save Anderson De Los Santos right there. So no runs on a hit, no errors, and one man left in scoring position for the Dash. We'll head to the home third. It's still the Birds 2 and the Dash nothing. Keep it locked on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Home half of the third inning here in Aberdeen. Birds lead it 2-0 over the Dash, looking for their third straight win. And the Dash have still not scored in this series. A 1-0 win last night for the Birds, a 2-0 lead so far tonight. The pitching continues to dominate, and the offense has gotten it done when they've needed to. Here is Elio Prado set to lead off the bottom of the third against Winston-Salem starter Lucas Gordon. It's Prado, Willems, and Cunningham. Birds looking for more. First pitch to Prado, misses low and in. Three scoreless innings from Levi Wells tonight. He went 8 up, 8 down to start the game before he allowed a two-out double, but got the next batter to ground out. He has really settled in. The Birds' bats settled in pretty early tonight.
Yeah, and heart of the order coming up here. This is where you want to see another run or two go on the board if you're the Ironbirds.
Well, this is the part of the order that did the damage in the first inning. It started with Sosa, who made the last out last inning, but it went double walk, single double. And it was Prado who worked the walk and stole second. 2-0 outside, and he may be working another walk here this time up.
Yeah, he's not chasing, and that's the biggest thing I'm noticing right now from Prado is he's not going after pitchers' pitches. He's saying, hey, you got to throw me a strike. You got to throw me a good pitch if you want me to swing.
3-0, fastball right down the chute. It's 3-1. So now Prado, with the hitter's count, we'll see if he decides to hack on this next pitch. Last one was a take all the way. Now the 3-1, he takes this one as well, and that's a strike. And that one probably not his pitch.
Yeah, that was on the inside half. That's just a fantastic pitch by Gordon. Really not much unless you pull that pitch down the line. You're probably getting a ground ball there.
Payoff low and in, ball four. And I want to bring up what we just saw as a talking point here, Zach. You know, that's a 3-1 pitch. A lot of guys are just in hack mode regardless of what they see they're going to swing. But these Ironbirds hitters, not afraid to hit with two strikes. And they preach in the Orioles organization, if it's not a pitch that you can do damage on and drive – to a gap or, you know, extra base pop, take it if there aren't two strikes on you. And that's what Prado did, and he finds himself on base because the next pitch was out of the zone.
Yeah, because if you do just allow yourself to say, oh, 3-1, he's got to throw me a good pitch, I'm swinging no matter what, most likely that inside pitch jams him a little bit, probably getting the ground ball to third, maybe shortstop. Instead, you live to see another pitch, gets the ball inside and says, thank you very much, I'll take my base anyway.
Snap throw to first, and Prado safe. And, of course, there are going to be scenarios where, yeah, maybe you're ahead in the count 3-1, you take a pitch that wasn't your pitch, but then you end up striking out or making it out, and you don't get on base because that next pitch is a strike or a good one, but at least you gave yourself gave yourself a chance to see that next one. Oh, so there's a rare pitch out. You don't see too many pitch outs anymore, but that was just a straight pitch out as the catcher, Harris, came out from behind the dish, and Gordon threw wide as they thought that Prado was going to take off.
Yeah, it seems like that I'm going to say questionable. It was 50-50 tag at second base on the first steal attempt called safe, and it seems to be sitting in Gordon's head of they want to see if Prado is taken off. Now you're sitting in a 2-0 count if you're Creed Williams, which is exactly what you want to be, the situation you want to be in if you are Williams.
Prado has a healthy lead at first. He takes off for second. Pitch misses high. Here's the throw down, the tag, and this time they get him. And Prado is caught stealing. So safe the first time out here. And Calvin Harris, the catcher, made a nice throw down.
I was going to say, that's just as textbook beautiful as a throw as you're going to get. Beautiful pitch to throw on. The high fastball puts him right in the situation and right down to second base for the tag.
So Willems hitting with no one on base now, 3-0. That's in for a strike, 3-1. Well, this Ironbirds team, they're going to be aggressive on the base paths. That's what they do. And they have had a ton of success swiping bags. I mean, most stolen bases in minor league baseball, and no one else is really even that close. 3-1, up and in, ball four. So that's where it hurts because you would have had first and second, no outs. Instead, runner on first with one out.
Yeah, and I'm not thinking Creed Williams is going to take off here in the be any hurry to take off. So maybe this is the guy that if you're Gordon, you're going to focus more on the batter. But like you said, the Ironbirds are a team that will take a base at any moment. And the pressure and just stress that can put on a pitcher can lead to mistake pitches, more pitches over the plate, more fastballs. And if they're doing things like pitch outs, they're doing semi pitch outs where they're just kind of throwing a ball away and seeing if the catcher, the batter swings, or the catcher has a good chance to throw him out. That can lead to positions like we just saw, and suddenly Willems is in a 3-0 count solely because the pitcher is concerned about Prado at first.
Yeah. So counts 1-1 on Jake Cunningham, who ripped an RBI double to left center his first time up. Birds lead it 2-0, and they are looking for more. That was Cunningham's first extra base hit at high A. Swing and a miss there. It's 1-2, but he's up to 10 hits already. And this is just his seventh game played. So I mentioned the trend of going every other game, three hits. He's due for those three hits tonight. He already has one out of the way. But that ball he ripped to right center, I mean, that's barreled up.
Would love to see if we can just get two-thirds of them here.
1-2 in the dirt. Willems stays put at first. Willems does have a stolen base this year. So
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
You really never know.
And it's funny. Sometimes those are the guys, they catch you off guard so much that it's almost an easy steal because no one expects it. He's taken off. It almost catches the catcher by surprise. He's sitting there going, this guy. Then by the time he processes it, Wilms is sitting on second.
Double play depth up the middle. 2-2. Chopper out to short. Could be two. Sprinkle to second for one. Chiapelli over to first, and it's just in time to get Cunningham. And the inning is over. So the Birds get two runners on walks, but a caught stealing and then a 6-4-3 double play ball in the inning. So just three come to bat in the home half of the third. And after three full in Aberdeen, it's still the Birds two and the Dash nothing. We'll head to the top of the fourth after another break on MILB TV and Bally Live. Watch me
now. Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585 or email office at tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585, and you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information. Levi Wells back to work in the top of the fourth inning. It's the Birds 2 and the Dash nothing. The Birds have held the Dash out of the run column all series so far. 1-0 win yesterday. And now a 2-0 lead into the fourth inning tonight. Here's Lloyd L. Chiapelli, the second baseman. First pitch, swing and a miss. Zach and Levi Wells just doing his thing, getting ahead of hitters, and another fastball by one of these Dash hitters.
Yeah, in fact, there's only been one at bat so far this game where he has fallen behind 1-0. So staying ahead in the count is massive for him, and it's leading to quick at bats. It's leading to strikeouts, and he is in. You just feel as if Wells is in control of each at bat instead of vice versa.
Yeah, he looks in control. He looks like, you know, he's just dominating the mound tonight and controlling this game in every sense. Here's his 0-2 to Chiapelli. Fastball just missed. I mean, Even when he's missing, Zach, I mean, that's not missing by much.
No, that's a 50-50 call. If the ump rings him up there, you're not upset with it from either side. That's a 50-50 pitch. Ump gives the benefit of the doubt to the batter, though.
Wells working really well with Retzbach. Now the 1-2, a little bit high there. It's 2-2. Well, Wells is trying to complete four innings for the fifth time this season. He has four strikeouts. He's trying to strike out five or more for the eighth time this year. Could take care of that right now. 2-2, got him. Right on cue, Levi Wells picks up strikeout number five, and he has the leadoff man gone here in the fourth.
Yeah, and we've talked about earlier about pitch count, stuff like that. Another way to make sure your pitch count does not inflate is getting the first guy out, and he has done that in all four innings so far. If you don't allow the first guy to get on, because then you're pitching out of the stretch, there's traffic for the entire inning, and you kind of feel like you force yourself a little bit. It's awesome to see Wells get the quick out each inning.
First pitch to the left-handed hitter, Connor, just missed off the plate. So just the second time tonight that he hasn't started a batter off with strike one. So it's 1-0 with one out, no one on here in the fourth. Birds up 2-0. But Wells won't be fazed by that. Going right back, 1-0. Ground ball to the right side, that's through between first and second into the outfield. So a base hit for Caden Connor. That's his third hit of the series already, and I mentioned that because yesterday he had two of the Dash's three hits, and today he has one of their two knocks. That brings up Ryan Galaney, and Zach, we've talked about it all night, but I mean, just the fastball. Every single one he has thrown tonight has made me think like, wow, like this is as sharp as I've seen him all year.
Yeah, he looks sharp. He looks in control, and he's got confidence right now, which is something you love to see. As you get a first pitch pop up, which is massive in that scenario.
On the infield, who wants it? Romero, the first baseman, is over in front of the second baseman Estrada. He makes the catch, and it's two outs. So there you have it, a one pitch out, throw back to first, runner safe.
Might as well try. You know, he didn't get too far off base, maybe a foot or two, but hey, you never know at this point.
Levi Wells' career high in strikeouts is 7. He did that back on May 11th at home against Hudson Valley. We'll see if he can get there tonight. He won't get there in this inning. There's already two outs, and he's at 5 right now, but maybe he'll come back out for the 5th. There is bullpen action right now for the Birds, but the first pitch to Wes Kath missed. And the count is 1-0.
Yeah, you would love to see a quick out here so that he has the ability to come out into the 5th and really just not let this inning prolong too much. You know, you don't want to all of a sudden get a walk or a hit here. Then you're throwing more pitches. You feel like you're sort of in a jam. Make it easy on yourself. Find a quick out here, and then you can focus on the 5th inning.
Wells is set. 2-0 to Kath, breaking ball in for a strike. Well, there you see he fell behind 2-0 and went with the get-me-over breaking ball, went with the slider.
Yeah, which is interesting because we've been talking about how dominant that fastball's been tonight. So if he can also locate the slider, that just adds another pitch to the repertoire that these guys have to look out for, and it's continuing to help that night he's having.
2-1, high chopper out to second. Estrada's in shallow right, fields it, throws to first, and the inning is over. Works around a one-out single, and Levi Wells is through 4 shutout innings tonight in Aberdeen. The Birds will take a 2-0 lead into the home half of the 4th, and we'll see if they can get some more run support for Levi Wells. One of the best outings this year for Wells. We'll see if he continues, but if not, what a great outing for him tonight. 2-0 Birds after 3.5, bottom 4 next.
Does your local Harford, Cecil, or Baltimore County business want more customers? Advertise with the Ironbirds and take advantage of the best local entertainment venue in the area. Contact the Ironbirds at partners@goironbirds.com or call us at 410-297-9292 for more information. Join local companies like Leidos, Horizon Cinemas, The Olive Tree, and more by advertising with the Ironbirds. Every Sunday at the ballpark this season is Sunday Family Fun Day presented by the Macaroni Kid Bel Air. Prior to the game, play catch on the field like the Ironbirds starting at 1 p.m., and after the game, it's kids run the bases. Get a ticket to one of our remaining Sunday home games now at goironbirds.com. That's Sunday Family Fun Day presented by the Macaroni Kid Bel Air. Red, White, and Boom is back for 2024. On Thursday, July 4th, Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium will host our annual Independence Day Family Festival with on-field games, live music, a kids zone, concessions, and fireworks at the end of the night.
If you're looking for a rental contract or want to have your property managed, then contact TCA Property Management, Inc. Whether you need to rent it or need it rented, owner Don Curry and his dedicated staff offer 24/7 service. Contact Don and the TCA Property Management team today at 410-273-9585. Or email office@tcaprop.com. That's 410-273-9585. And you can visit www.tcaproperty.com for more information.
Ironbirds 2-0. We go to the home half of the 4th inning here in Aberdeen. Levi Wells has thrown 4 shutout innings tonight. Birds looking to add to their 2-0 lead. They got both runs in the first. Here is the shortstop, Carter Young. First pitch, swings and pops it up. Right side of the diamond on the infield. The first baseman, Gillaney, is over out towards second, and he makes the catch. Well, Zach, that was kind of weird. You know, if Schiappelli had just stayed put at second base, that ball's right to him. But he got out of the way, and Gillaney went over to make the catch.
I guess when you got confidence and you want to call off the rest of the infield, I say go get it. So Gillaney felt it was his ball, and he said, hey, I'm going to go catch this.
So a one pitch out for Lucas Gordon. The Winston-Salem southpaw has settled down since the first inning. Here's Anderson De Los Santos, takes a big rip and comes up empty. It's 0-1. Well, De Los Santos gave one a ride to deep center field his first time up, swung at the first pitch he saw, but was retired. Now the 0-1, ground ball to the right side. Schiappelli a diving stop in shallow right, but then it ricochets off of his body further into right, and it's a base hit for De Los Santos.
Just a perfect example of it's funny. His first at bat, like you said, gives it a ride, beautifully hit ball, gets run down in the gap right there, a little dribbler to the right side, finds its way. How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Right, right.
You know, it's little things like that.
Yeah, and the box score will tell you that that infield base hit was the better hit ball.
Yep, and I think we can both tell you he'll take that first hit ball over that one any day of the week, but I think he'll also take being on first.
Yeah. Here's Adam Retzbach, fouls one away to the right side, and the count is 0-1. Two runs on four hits for the Birds, no runs on two hits for the Dash. Birds trying to add to that two-run lead. Retzbach grounded to third his first time up. Now Gordon, a long pause, 0-1. Fastball in for a strike, 0-2. Gordon has some solid numbers in August, a 2.77 ERA in 13 innings this month. He's gone four-plus innings in all three of his starts. And he's trying to complete four innings tonight. Now Retzbach steps out. Counts 0-2.
I like that by Retzbach. Just kind of get out of the batter's box. You're down 0-2. Kind of clear the mind. Try to take control of the at-bat back, you know, because Gordon was going out there and gets two right by him, so.
Skipped in the dirt. It's 1-2 now. And now there you have it. I mean, steps out, just kind of throws him off mm-hmm. his groove, and then he spikes one into the dirt in front of home plate.
Yeah, now you feel like you're back into the at-bat. You know, you don't want to let the pitcher kind of get into that groove. He gets two straight fastballs or two straight pitches by you. You go, okay, give yourself a second, kind of throw him off his rhythm a bit, and then go back out and see what you can do.
1-2 to Retz. Off the end of the bat to left center field. Here comes Park, and he makes the catch. That one actually traveled a little farther than I thought it would. It went to medium left center. But that is the second out of the fourth inning.
Yeah. Ball hit like that, you kind of expect almost like a blooper, maybe a short pop-up that the center fielder has to come sprinting in for. But it had some carry on it. That went a lot further than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, just a little bit of a breeze tonight, maybe blowing out that direction. Well, here's the nine-hole hitter, Noelbert Romero, who flew out to right his first time up. Birds lead at 2-0. Two gone, and De Los Santos at first. Romero takes low in the dirt. And Romero's just a really fun guy to be around. I always like talking to him during batting practice, and he's one of those guys who is just always in a good mood, joking with guys, and whether it's he's speaking in his native Spanish with the native Spanish-speaking players or speaking in English, he's fluent in English. It's really cool to see the presence he has around his teammates. Swing and a miss, ball in the dirt, and it's 1-1.
And you need guys like those in the clubhouse.
He's a vibes guy.
Exactly. You need the vibes guys because it's a long season. There's a lot of ups and downs. You're going to go through hot streaks. You're going to go through cold streaks. You need to understand that, you know, when the team is a unit and just everything is going well, it's easy. But you need the guys when things aren't going well to try to pick guys up.
Well, it counts 2-1 on Romero. Romero and Ironbirds outfielder Elio Prado came up together in the Red Sox organization when they signed together out of Venezuela. And then they came over to the Orioles organization in the same trade that sent Andrew Cashner to the Red Sox back in 2018. And they were teammates a little bit last year, teammates again this year for most of the year. It's really cool to see how their friendship has just continued over the years and how they've kind of been with each other every step of the way in their pro baseball journeys. 2-1, that's downstairs. And these are things that, you know, if you just, you can't find that on the internet.
Yeah.
You can find it out from talking to these guys. And it's just so cool to hear the friendship that those guys have. I mean, Romero told me the other day, you know, that we're not just friends, we're brothers.
Yeah, and when you've gone through stuff like a trade together where you're both starting over in a new organization, that's the stuff that can really build a bond between two guys. And it's so awesome to see that they can continue that friendship, that brotherhood, as he says, out, continue it onto the field, and just kind of go through the ranks together.
Yeah, Romero told me the other day in the interview that we did together, and I thank him a lot for doing that interview in English, his second language, but he said Elio Prado is the kind of guy where, like, if he needs to call him at 2 a.m., he's going to pick up. You know, it's that kind of friendship, which is really, really cool. So Romero works the walk. He's down at first base. It's first and second for the Birds, with two down in the bottom of the fourth, already up 2-0, back to the top for Estrada. First pitch down the chute from the lefty Gordon, and the count's 0-1. Could use a base hit up the middle right here, Zach, get a little insurance
Yeah, you know, especially this early into the game with just a two-run lead, you want to keep building on that lead, especially because all you're blooping a blast away from a tie ball game. You want to give yourself a little breathing room. Also helps out the pitchers because there's not a lot of stress because, hey, two-run game, guy gets on first, whatever it may be, hit, walk, single, all of a sudden the time runs up. Yeah. It just gets a little more pressure. You would love to let them ease down a little bit, get a few more insurance runs here, and then finish off this ball game down the stretch.
1-1, tap foul behind home plate. It's De Los Santos at second, Romero at first. Birds looking to extend this lead. We'll see if Levi Wells comes out for a fifth inning or if the Birds go to the bullpen. Either way, starter, reliever, doesn't matter. This Ironbirds pitching staff continues to throw up zeros. The lefty Gordon pauses. Next pitch, foul back. Well, these Ironbirds hitters are doing a great job lengthening the at-bats, fouling pitches off, taking tough pitches. We talked about Prado taking until there were two strikes on him during the last inning, and now you see Estrada just fighting, hanging tough, fighting pitches off.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you want to see is extending the bat. Don't make it easy for the pitcher. You don't want any easy, quick outs. They're extending at bats and just finding ways to say, hey, whether it's going to be an out, whether it's going to be a hit, we're going to make them earn these outs, every single one of them. And that's what you want to see from your offense. We've seen outs, hard hit outs. We've seen some choppers that they've had to make some nice plays on in the field. You don't want to have easy outs. You want to make them earn each one.
2-2, hard hit ground ball up the middle. The shortstop Sprinkle has it, steps on second himself, and the six unassisted fielder's choice ends the threat. Well, the Birds threatened with two down. They put two on but did not score. It's still 2-0 after four. We'll head to the top of the fifth after another break here on MILB-TV and Bally Live. Top of the fifth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. It's the Birds 2 and the Dash nothing. Right-hander Nestor Herman is the new pitcher for Aberdeen. Here in the top of the fifth inning, he gets Casey Saukey, Calvin Harris, and Eddie Park 6-7-8. Levi Wells done after four scoreless innings. We'll talk a little bit more about his line in just a moment, but Herman is the new arm for the Birds, looking to stay hot. First pitch, swing and a miss. Herman throws a fastball, a slider, and a splitter. A product of Seattle University up in the Pacific Northwest. Born in Seattle, grew up in Mexico, moved back to Seattle towards the end of his tenure in middle school. Now the 0-1, swing and a miss. Well, Zach, that's a good start. Two pitches, two swings, two misses.
Yeah, and once again, new Ironbirds pitcher, but the same kind of thing happening. Getting ahead early, using the fastball to get ahead and kind of show its life early in a count. And now they've got to account for that. And then you said he's got that slider and splitter. We'll see what he throws here. Maybe another strikeout coming, probably looking for that K pitch.
Herman pitched in relief of Wells last week as well on August 15th, and he was fantastic. Here's the 0-2 pitch outside. Well, the last time Herman took the mound here in Aberdeen, he faced 14 batters. He retired all 14 of them. 4 2/3 perfect innings in relief that night. He struck out 5 batters, and he threw first pitch strikes to 9 of the 14 hitters he faced. Now the 1-2, got him. Half-hearted check swing, Saukie went around. And that is strikeout number 6 for the Ironbirds pitching staff, and a good start to Herman's night.
And exactly what you want to see. Gets ahead early, takes control of the at-bat, then sees if the batter will nibble on the outside corner, doesn't get it, says, okay, going to throw the off-speed, the splitter, down in the dirt, see if I can get you in the half-hearted swing. Little sword action, yeah, as they would say, and gets the strikeout.
We got to get Pitching Ninja at the ballpark here in Aberdeen, because this Ironbirds pitching staff has been dishing out swords left and right this past week and a half.
I think we've seen 3 today at least. I mean, it's rare to see 2, maybe 1 even in a game. To get 3 already through 5-plus innings, 5 1/3, you love to see it from the Ironbirds pitching staff. It shows how nasty their stuff is tonight.
A 1 from Herman to the left-handed hitter Harris, and it's in the dirt. Count is 1-1. Birds lead it 2-0 in another pitcher's duel. Numbers for Herman overall this year, a 1.40 ERA in 17 games, 58 innings of work, with 68 strikeouts and only 15 walks in that span. But at high A, he has an 0.93 ERA, just 1 earned run in 9 2/3 in 3 appearances out of the pen. Glove in front of his face. Now the 1-1. Line drive right center. Prado's going back on it. He can't get there. It's a foot race to the gap to pick it up. Around second, heading for third. Harris wants 3. Here's the throw. It's way late, and it's a one-out triple for Calvin Harris. And the Dash have something cooking here in the top of the fifth.
Yeah, and now you're going to need to see some sort of strikeout. We talked about it with Wells. Now we see, obviously, just one batter in gets the strikeout. Then the second guy gets the triple. So now we'll see out of the stretch, see if he can go get a strikeout, get a pop-up, maybe a hard ground ball that can keep the runner at third. You're trying to do get damage control right now.
And Nestor Herman is not used to working with men on base. He had retired the last 15 batters he'd faced going back to his last outing. Runner at third with one down. Here's Eddie Park, first pitch, fastball in for a strike. And now we see Zach with the 2-run lead. The Ironbirds are keeping their middle infielders back and the corner infielders about even with their respective bags, but not in.
Yeah, if it's right at, if the ball brings the corner infielders in, I'm sure they go home. But if it's just a normal ground ball to the middle infield, they're going to take the run, and they'll take the out as well.
This is a big spot in the game right here. Herman looking to limit the damage. And look, Zach, if the Dash get this run home, not a big deal. You still have the lead. But you'd like, if they're going to score, you'd like it to be on an out, RBI ground out, sack
yes.
fly, one of those situations.
Yeah, and Herman is looking for that strikeout pitch right here.
0-2, chopper up the first baseline. Romero fields it in fair territory, steps on the bag, and the out is recorded. And I don't think anybody knew for sure if that was a fair ball or a foul ball. I thought the umpires were about to discuss. They both threw their hands up, but I think that was to signal that
yeah.
they were dead ball after the play. But yeah, so I mean, there you go. Two outs, runner still at third, and it's still a 2-0 game on the weekly hit ground ball to first from Park.
And that's why you play your corner infielders, even with the bag. That ball is hit right down the line and able to kind of look like the guy on third, Calvin Harris. He wasn't too sure, one, if he should go, two, if it was even a fair ball. Kind of got caught in between, and at that point, it was over. He had to just go back to third once it was in the first baseman's mitt.
So here's Jordan Sprinkle, took a first pitch strike, counts 0-1. Runner at third with two down. The shutout bid is still intact for now. Herman trying to get out of the jam. There's one sent off the facing of the Ironbirds dugout. Counts 0-2. Well, we talked about it. I mean, how often do you think this guy gets asked about his last name? People making jokes and puns all the time. It has to be just a regular thing.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan Sprinkle is such a baseball name.
That's a dope name. It
yeah.
really is.
I wish I was named Jordan Sprinkle.
No balls and two strikes. Pitch from Herman. Tapper in front of the plate. That's foul. But, yeah, I mean, I think anywhere you go, baseball, non-baseball, that's just a cool name to have.
Yeah, Jordan Sprinkle.
Are you a Sprinkles guy?
Oh, without a doubt.
Rainbow or chocolate?
I prefer. Oh man, now we're asking the tough questions on air. I'm gonna lean rainbow. I think it's more versatile.
Yeah. I think it's the rainbow sprinkles. It's more of a vibes guy.
Yeah,
chocolate. I think you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
So I mean, we can't knock the chocolate sprinkles.
Yeah.
But I think if you're going for the vibes, you got to go rainbow sprinkles.
Yeah, chocolate's got the highest floor. You know what you're gonna get. Yeah. Sprinkles can take it to the next level, but rainbow sprinkles also. I've had some bad rainbow sprinkles.
Yeah, I mean,
sprinkles.
High floor, low ceiling for sure.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I think it's more of like, you know, let's take a big swing on the rainbow sprinkles, like that kind of prospect. You know what I mean? Like, like you said, you know, maybe a little bit lower floor, but high ceiling.
Yeah, it's like that power hitter who's got swing and miss stuff. You know it's probably a home run or strikeout, but you're living for that home run with the rainbow sprinkles, whereas chocolate, it feels more of like a four-tool player.
Right. I mean, if you get rainbow sprinkles into your organization, you can cut down on the swing and miss, but the power is only going to get better.
Yeah, you've convinced yourself that you can fix it and you can raise the floor, which is not always the case. Sometimes there are swings and misses with rainbow sprinkles.
Counts two balls and two strikes on Jordan Sprinkle. Ground ball foul up the third baseline. So, I mean, I think more often than not, that's the play. I'm thinking of going down the shore growing up, the Jersey Shore. You grab an ice cream, you know, to soft serve twist with rainbow sprinkles. Oh. I mean, that's going to hit every time.
Every single time, especially down on the shore, without a doubt, without question.
Like after a round of mini golf, doesn't miss. Absolutely doesn't miss.
Yeah, top three ice cream cone of all time is beach after mini golf, rainbow sprinkles. Got the swirl in there too. Perfection.
Yeah. Another foul ball from Sprinkle. Still two down with a runner at third in the top of the fifth inning. Birds holding the 2-0 lead.
And while we've been talking about Sprinkle has put together a hell of an at-bat so far.
Yeah, I mean, he's fighting pitches off, and now he takes another pitch high here, so he's run the count full. I mean, it's just Sprinkle. I mean, I think Sprinkles are always going to grind out an at-bat for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're not going down easy. It's one of those things where they're going to make you throw everything at them to get them out.
3-2 pitch, a called strike three from Nestor Hermann, and he picks up his second strikeout in a scoreless fifth inning. Showing some emotion coming off the mound, and the shutout bid is still intact after the fifth. Through four and a half, it's the Birds 2 and the Dash nothing. Runner at third, one out, no problem. Birds get out of it with a ground ball and a strikeout. We'll go to the home fifth after this on MILB-TV and Bally Live. We are vibing here in Aberdeen with Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger in the booth. 2-0 Birds as we go to the home fifth. Zach, you got a couple runs on the board. You're looking for to go 2-0 in the booth this year. And the Ironbirds have a shutout intact after Nestor Hermann got out of that runner at third, one out jam. Now we're looking for some more offense.
Yeah, you need some more offense. I got 5 runs last time. Would love to eclipse 5, maybe get in that 6-7 run area. But the offense goes have to step up here, and I feel like I'm feeling good about the way that they've grinded out at bats so far. No easy outs, really, and even a lot of the outs are some hard hit balls. I like where the offense has how they've played so far tonight, and it feels like they are just on the edge of kind of breaking through.
Right-hander Luke Bell is the new pitcher for Winston-Salem. He ties up Sosa up and in, and the count is 2-1 on that swing and a miss. So from Lucas to Luke, it's right-hander Luke Bell, native of Cincinnati, Ohio. So both teams into their bullpen now. Another well-pitched game between the two squads. 2-1, Sosa takes inside, count swells to 3-1, and a leadoff base runner would be huge right here.
Yeah, you want to put pressure especially on a pitcher, a new pitcher coming fresh into the ball game. You kind of want to put a little bit of pressure on him early, see how he handles it.
3-1, that's in for a strike. Final line on Gordon. Four innings, gave up two runs on four hits with one strikeout and five walks. Through 76 pitches, 39 strikes, he was not nearly as efficient as his counterpart, Levi Wells, who went four shutout frames with no walks. Now Sosa fouls one to the netting behind home plate. Count stays full.
Yeah, and if you're Gordon, especially where you found yourself in the first inning, if you would have told him middle of the first when he was fighting to get out of that inning that, hey, you're going four innings, you're only giving up two runs, I think he takes that any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, give him credit for fighting through those five walks to go four innings, two runs. 3-2 again to Sosa, fights it off. Well, these Ironbirds hitters are really lengthening at-bats. I mean, Bell hasn't even officially faced a full batter yet, and he's already thrown seven pitches.
Yeah, and that's kind of been the theme so far tonight for Ironbirds batters, is working the count, nothing easy, and it's just consistently waiting for your pitch and not giving into a pitcher's pitch.
3-2, swing and a miss, low and away, changeup got him. One up, one down here in the fifth. Birds, both runs came in the first inning, but they still lead it 2-0. The Dash still haven't scored this series. Here is Elio Prado. Well, Zach, I was really excited to bring up this topic at one point, but there was a viral tweet a while back, a couple months ago, that continues to circulate on social media. You reshared it on your Instagram story last night, and it was a tweet. Like I said, it's from a while back. I'll say what it is after this next pitch to Prado. First pitch to Elio, high and away, 1-0. And the tweet was, 73% of a man's life is just trying to decide what his walk-up song would be if he made it to the big leagues.
Yeah.
First of all, that is absolutely correct.
Without a doubt.
We spend a lot of time thinking about that. As Prado takes another one outside, 2-0. So I got to pose you this question. And, you know, we'll kind of mix in this convo throughout the next couple innings. But what would your walk-up song or songs be if you were playing professional baseball?
I feel like for a majority of my life, it would have been Lose Yourself.
Okay.
I just feel like every guy goes through that phase in life where Lose Yourself would have been your walk-up song. So recently, I'm not sure, maybe a little country, maybe some Zach Bryan or something. But for the majority of my life, I have to say probably something like a Lose Yourself by Eminem. How about you?
3-0 pitch to Prado's in for a strike. Well, that's cool that you brought up Eminem, because so when I played 2 years of summer ball, like while I was in college, just a local league back home with a bunch of my best friends. And we actually had walk-up songs
Those
two summers. We did it ourselves. Pitch misses outside to Prado, so he has walked for the third time tonight.
Get that OBP
up. Runner for Willem. So we had a playlist on somebody's phone, and we had the songs in order of the batting order every game, and the time that we'd start the songs at. We would literally plug the phone in to one of those really small iHomes. Like, you could fit it in your pocket. That's how small the speaker was. And we would just do it. And I really appreciate, you know, the umpires in that league, like, not complaining and just letting us do it, which was awesome. But I used Till I Collapse by Eminem.
Oh, that's another good one. If I wasn't going to Lose Yourself, that would probably be my next Eminem one.
See, if I could go back, I might have mixed in Lose Yourself, because that's a jam. Like, when that comes on, you're vibing, really, in any situation, whether, you know, you're like out at a bar, you're at a party, you're just hanging with the boys.
Yeah, working out, whatever it may be, it just feels like it always
That one's over our heads up in the press box. Foul off the bat of Willems. But, yeah, I mean, that's an anytime song. You're bumping to it.
Yeah, so I just feel like if I need to get in that mental zone to start off an at-bat, I'm really feeling like Lose Yourself. It's got the diversity to really any situation, whether it's to lead off an inning, whether it's, you know, two outs in the ninth, game on the line. It's just going to get me going.
Counts 2-1 on Willems with one out and a runner at first in the bottom of the fifth. Birds lead it 2-0. And different guys are looking for different vibes from their walk-up songs. Some guys want to get amped up. Some guys just want to relax and focus and just completely get any thought out of their head before they hit. Willems takes outside, counts 3-1. for me, like when I was playing ball, and you know, it's not like I played college or pro ball or anything, but you know, even just when I was playing, like when we did the walk-up songs for fun, that a couple years of summer ball, like I wanted to get amped up a little bit. Like I wanted to I wasn't looking for, you know, tune everything out. Like I wanted to feel the song. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I feel like summer ball, something like that, you go up there, you're hacking. I need the energy. I need something that tells me, okay, I'm going out there and I want to hit a home run. I want to drive in some runs right now. Not necessarily looking for something, especially in like a summer ball setting that's like clear the mind. No, I'm going up there and taking hacks.
No doubt. Well, John Kovalik, the pitching coach for Winston-Salem, is out to chat with the entire Dash infield. Back-to-back walks from right-hander Luke Bell. He struck out Sosa to start the inning, but also ran a full count on him. Walked to Prado, walked to Willems, and Prado and Willems combined have reached safely in all six of their plate appearances with five walks and a single. So first and second for the Birds with Jake Cunningham due up. Birds lead at 2-0 in the home fifth. Talking about what our walk-up songs would be if we were playing pro ball, and Zach, I have thought a lot about this over the years. I mean, even just last night preparing for this broadcast. So I would be one of the guys that, for example, like Bryce Harper with the Phillies, he has three or four different walk-up songs every game. First at bat, he has a song. Second at bat, a different song. Third at bat, a different song. And then he may even have a fourth, or maybe he goes back to one. But he's a guy who's using multiple songs per game, and it's just that's how he likes it.
Yeah, I'm thinking if I have to switch it up, I might even throw in some Usher. You know, maybe like a OMG, like something.
That's another classic.
Yeah, like something. I also kind of want the crowd to get into it. You know, I love those walk-up songs that the entire crowd reminds me of. A guy like Gunnar Henderson, Sweet Escape, that the whole ballpark starts singing along to it. I want those kind of vibes. You get the whole place like, okay, here we go.
Yeah. Well, so, like, I think I would go more like Harper, where I'm using different songs throughout the game. I'm not just sticking with one song throughout a game, or even if some guys use one song throughout their entire career.
Yeah.
1-1 to Cunningham's in for a strike. I think about Chase Utley with the Phillies. It was always Cashmere by Led Zeppelin.
Yep.
But certain guys then, like, you know that song is his walk-up song. Mm-hmm. Like, every, you know, me and my, growing up in the Philly area, my friends and I, we'd hear that song come on the radio. We're like, yes, Chase Utley's walk-up song. Like, you know, Shane Victorino used Buffalo Soldier. That's a song where the crowd's getting into it. Bryson Stott with A-OK in Philly.
Yep, was just about to say.
Talking about Gunner with Sweet Escape. I mean, when the crowd gets into it and they know that that's who's coming up. Liner to right center field. Cunningham has his second hit. It's going all the way to the warning track. One run is in. Here comes the second. Cunningham's around second. He pulls up there. Throw to the plate way late. And it's a two-run double for Jake Cunningham. And the Birds double their lead. It's 4-0.
Just another shot by Jake Cunningham. Second double of the day. Get some more RBIs for you. Two hits so far. So we're two-thirds of the way to keeping the streak, or I guess the every other day streak alive of three-hit games.
So Cunningham is 2-for-3 with a pair of doubles and three RBIs. The Birds lead at 4-0. A couple big insurance runs they so desperately needed, and maybe not desperately because the way the pitching staff is rolling right now, two might have been enough tonight. But now there's breathing room, and you don't have to worry about, like you said, Zach, earlier, one guy gets on tying runs up all of a sudden.
Yeah, and that can change a pitcher, and even just how the manager manages a game so much, because you want guys who, even if they get a guy on, they're not going to feel that pressure of, okay, now the tying runs up. You want guys that are able to deal with that. Now you get a little bit more of a cushion. It makes it easier even if a guy gets on. Even if two guys get on, you sit there and you have that calmness of, hey, no matter what happens here, we're still going to have the lead.
So the count is 1-1 on Carter Young. Birds have doubled their lead. It's 4-0. And they are getting to Luke Bell here in the bottom of the fifth. Young is 0-for-2 tonight, but looking to keep this rally going. Still only one out in Cunningham at second. Next pitch, Young fights it off over the third base dugout. Count is 1-2. Well, so Zach, talking about the walk-up songs, of course, using Till I Collapse for a couple summers, playing summer ball. Like, I would have that in my rotation nowadays. But I actually wrote this. I typed this up. I wrote it down because I needed it for the broadcast.
Love it. I absolutely love it.
I have a list of five songs that I think I would rotate between. Maybe every, you know, switch it up throughout the season. Maybe using multiple per game, depending on what at-bat of the game it is.
And, you know, it all depends on, you know, baseball players, they're superstitious. Mm-hmm. You start hitting well with one song, maybe you start going to that song a little bit more. You know, it's all about the vibes of how things are going as well.
Yeah, and that's why you kind of have to have, like, in the back of your mind, like, a few. Like,
yeah.
What would be my next one or the one after that? Because, yeah, sometimes you have to change it up. Here's the 2-2 to Young. Fly ball foul down the left field line. Count stays 2-2. So, of course, all right, Till I Collapse is in there. I think if I was a pitcher coming out of the bullpen, especially coming out of the bullpen, bring him out by T.I. would just hit different.
Oh, that would be beautiful. That
I'm
would
telling
be,
you.
It's just the bring him out as soon as bullpen doors open, that you might be onto something there.
Fly ball shallow left field. Nishida's racing in. He makes the grab on the run. Had to jump at the end there. That one almost got over his head. He almost overran it. But Young is retired for the second out. And that brings up Anderson De Los Santos. But then, just thinking position player. So, I don't know if you know who Mike Studd is. He goes by just Mike now. Used to be Mike Studd. He's kind of rebranded. But he's got this song, Up Again. My favorite song by him. He's one of my favorite artists. There's a certain part in the chorus that I would use. I think it's just a great
metaphor.
Also,
Up Again, I feel like, you know, maybe that's your second at bat one. Like, Up Again.
Yeah, ooh, I like that.
Up Again.
So, like, don't start with it. But
yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of plays off like, hey, bring him out.
Yeah.
And then Up Again.
Up again.
No, but it's a great song, and I think it's just the metaphor of, you know, he says in the song, like, when I get knocked down, I get up again. Like,
yep.
Baseball is a game of failure, and I think just the metaphors. Fly ball to deep center field. Park ranges back. He is shy of the track. Now he drifts back to the track, and he makes the catch. Inning over. Well, Anderson De Los Santos has hit two deep fly balls to the warning track in center, but he is out to end the inning. But the Birds add two more. Jake Cunningham rips a two-run double to the right center gap. The Birds double their lead. They lead it 4-0 after five. And we'll go to the top of the sixth inning. A commanding lead for Nestor Herman to work with. We'll head there next after this break on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Ironbirds 4-0, top of the sixth inning here in Aberdeen. Riku Nishida, the leadoff man for the Dash, will get things started with Schiappelli and Connor to follow. Birds added two more in the bottom of the fifth. Jake Cunningham, a two-run double. First pitch of the sixth from Nestor Herman misses high to Nishida. Count is 1-0. But a big bottom of the fifth for the Birds, Zach, of that two-run double from Jake Cunningham split the outfielders in the right center gap. I mean, that really got this crowd going again and got the Birds some big insurance runs.
Yeah, and we talked about it. You want the insurance runs, but you also want that confidence to continue and passing it off to the next guy and continuing to really we've talked about the struggles the Iron Birds offense has had recently. So when you get opportunities to get hot, you get opportunities to start keep the ball rolling, you're happy to see them continuing that inning to inning. Now you'd want to see a shutdown inning here by Herman and then go out and hit again.
So the count is 2-1 on Nishida. Throwing up a zero here in the sixth would be clutch. Get that shutdown frame. Herman out of the windup, 2-1. Ground ball to the right side. Estrada has it. and it goes off of his leg into shallow right. So a base hit for Riku Nishida. Would have been a tough play to get that ball to first before Nishida got there, even if he did field it cleanly. But a leadoff base hit for the Dash. And, Zach, that's the first time tonight the Dash have had the leadoff man on.
Yeah, and that's a big part of being successful as a pitcher, and we've seen it so far for the Ironbirds, is five straight innings of you don't allow the leadoff guy on. It really takes the pressure off the pitcher. Now, we've talked about it, you know, why are those two runs in the bottom of the fifth so big? Because of a situation like this, now it takes off pressure of, hey, I don't have to be perfect here, especially with the four-hole hitter up. Usually that we'd be sitting here in a 2-0 game going one swing and we're tied. Takes a little bit of that pressure off of Herman.
So runner at first with no outs. Birds rocking that four-run advantage. Here's Lloyd Elshapelli, who's 0 for 2 with a couple of strikeouts. Wells got him twice among his five Ks. 1-0 popped up behind home plate. Retzbach throws off the mask. He has room, and he makes the grab in foul territory. That's a big out number one for Herman. Great awareness from Retzbach.
Yeah, that is not an easy play. That had backspin on it. It's looking like, hey, can it make it to the stands? And then suddenly it starts coming back at you. Able to stay underneath it. Always a tough play for the catcher. One, because you got to get out of that crouch and find it first and foremost. And then being able to track it down and get back underneath it. Great play there.
So here's Caden Connor, the DH. Double played up the middle for the Birds. Talking about walk-up songs over the last inning. And it's been a really fun conversation. I mean, this is, again, we're not going to play professional baseball, but just hypothetically thinking if we were, what the walk-up songs would be. A couple more that I would use. Mm-hmm. I really like the beginning of Uproar by Lil Wayne.
Oh,
kind of like, yes. Before he even like starts talking, just that tune.
Yeah.
I think would be a vibe coming up to the plate. And then my brother, who is about to start his senior year at the University of Pittsburgh. Here's a snap throw to second from Retz and a stolen base for Nishida. So he slaps his hands out at second, and he is in scoring position with one out, but the Birds still lead at 4-0. So my brother, who's going to be a senior at University of Pittsburgh this year, he does a little music on the side. He's written some songs and recorded them. He has a bunch out on really all platforms. If anyone wants to check him out, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever, check him out. Jack Mark is his artist name, but he's got a song, and now Herman's got a man in a rundown. He had him picked off. Here's Young with the ball. Flip to the third baseman, De Los Santos. Nishida flipped around and throw going to second. Now Estrada has the ball. Nishida tried a swim move, but he was out of the baseline, and Estrada applied the tag. Very weird play, wild play, but it started, Zach, with Nestor Herman getting Nishida caught in between second and third, and he made the play.
Yeah, and that, you know, help yourself out a little there. Nishida's getting a too big of a lead. They're looking to maybe steal a run here. You get that single. Suddenly it's 4-1. You start to really creep back into the game. Herman doesn't feel the pressure. Quick little move. Gets him in no man's land. And then perfectly runs at him. Makes Nishida make a decision. Is he going to run to third? Is he going to try to run back? Perfect little pickle play there. And they get the out.
So two outs, no one on. That's big for Herman and the Birds. 1-0 pitch to Connor, swinging a miss fastball. So what I was saying is my brother records and writes some songs, and he's got a song called My Time. It's my favorite of the ones that he has. So I would definitely, if I was still playing, I would mix that song in for
you
sure.
Have to.
Shout out to the bro.
Yeah, you have to at that point. But I will say, I saw Uproar live by Lil Wayne. Incredible. Incredible experience.
Yeah. So that's my list. I thought a lot about it. 1-1, swing and a miss, good change up there.
Yeah,
good splitter.
I feel like those, like, late 2000s, early 2010s, like I feel like I would really be picking from in that kind of genre. I feel like that those are the walk-up songs that when I hear really get me going.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking good vibes, like kind of pump you up, but also lock you in at the same
exactly.
time. Exactly. There are some pump-up songs that you're just off the rails and it's too much.
Yeah, you're going up there with too much energy. You're pressing a little bit. You know, there is an art and a science to the walk-up song that, honestly, people don't give too much credit to.
Right. You're not looking for, like, that run through a brick wall football mindset.
Exactly.
Like, you have to get a little bit pumped up, but also still lock in.
Yeah, like a silent assassin.
2-2, fouled away. That's a great way to describe it. But, yeah, it's an art for sure.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I will say there are some times I go to a stadium and I hear some walk-up songs. And I'm like, I don't feel confident. confident in this at bat.
No,
you know, it really feels like it sets the tone.
You're
sometimes,
like, what is like what? Where was the process like for, yeah, for picking this song?
Exactly. I'm like, you know, we might have to go back to the drawing board on this one.
2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. Pitch from Herman, grounded through his legs up the middle. Young has it behind second. Smooth transition throw to first, ooh, and the inning is over. Smooth all the way around. Carter Young showing off his range, getting behind that second base bag. And because of the pickoff caught stealing, Herman faces the minimum 3 batters in the top of the 6th. No runs on a hit, no errors, and no one left on. Shutout is still intact. Birds lead 4-0 as we go to the home half of the 6th inning. Stay locked in with me and Zach on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. We move to the home half of the 6th inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger with the headsets on tonight. Adam Retzbach, Noel Berth Romero, and Aaron Estrada do up in the 6th. Birds lead at 4-0, 2 in the 1st, 2 in the 5th. And now they'll look for more against right-handed reliever Billy Seidel, the 3rd pitcher of the game for Winston-Salem. Luke Bell done after giving up 2 runs in an inning of work. First pitch to Retzbach from Seidel is in for a strike. Well, Zach, this is exactly the position that the Ironbirds want to be in right now. The pitching staff combining on a shutout, 4 runs on the board, a couple of 2-run innings, and still plenty of time left to add on.
Yeah, and the big thing is they've gotten to pitchers early. We saw the first inning, they get to Gordon, then they bring in a reliever. In one inning, they're able to get 2 runs. Now they get onto their 3rd pitcher they're facing. So you'd love to see the exact same thing. Get to him early, get them off balance. As soon as you start, he gets obviously the ground ball out there, but you want to start off hot and really kind of take control before the pitcher can get comfortable.
So Retzbach grounds out to 3rd, and that brings up Noel Berth Romero, who walked his last time up. The Birds have had a really patient approach at the plate tonight. Talk about drawing walks. First pitch to Romero, misses low. 7 walks for the Dash pitching staff tonight, and only 2 strikeouts. On the flip side, Zach, 7 strikeouts for the Ironbirds pitching staff, Wells and Herman combined, and no walks.
Yeah, walks are killer. Walks are that thing where every pitcher, every manager, every pitching coach will tell you nothing good happens after a walk. You do not want to give up free base runners. You don't want guys on the bases because that's when chaos can ensue, and it's easier if you just can get guys out. If they get a hit, that happens. That's going to happen, but you don't want to be issuing free bases.
1-1, that's to the backstop, and it's 2-1. So of the 4 runs that the Ironbirds have scored tonight, 3 of the guys that scored walked. And I'll tell you a little bit about how this game has gone. Birds taking advantage of the opportunity, that process and approach at the plate paying off. Here's the 2-1 from Seidel to Romero. That's in for a strike. Well, Zach, the other day when I joined you guys in studio for the Ryan Ripken Show, talking about how you guys are looking to get some Ryan Ripken Show merch coming out,
yeah,
soon. And towards the end of the show, I suggested bucket hats, which...
happening.
I think that it has to happen. I mean, bucket hats are incredible. A very versatile hat. Like, you can wear them in many different scenarios.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about sprinkles, that kind of thing. We want to talk about a 5-tool player. It's bucket hats. It's just any occasion you can toss on a bucket hat, and it's just a complete vibe. You know, yeah, you see every year floppy hat night at the yard, Camden Yards, always a sellout. Love floppy hat night. Honestly, probably my favorite night. But a good, solid bucket hat, it takes the cake on any other hat.
Pitch misses in the dirt to Romero. Count is full. Birds lead at 4-0 in the bottom of the sixth. Yeah, I'm more bucket over floppy because I like the wider brim of the bucket hat, and I like the string. You know, you pull it off. If it's a windy day, you pull it off a little bit. That hat's not coming off your head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that, you know, like the beach, stuff like that, that's where a bucket hat is really kind of just the best option because you got full coverage going everywhere. You get the string. It truly is as versatile as it gets.
Lloyd L. Schapelli with a really nice play out at second. A tough play in shallow right. Spun and threw and then fell down as he threw it. And got it to first to get Romero. So back to the top for Aaron Estrada. Two gone and no one on. So what else are you guys thinking in terms of merch?
So obviously we need a solid T-shirt. I have so many one-liners that I'm ready to put on a T-shirt. Mm-hmm. My favorite one is baseball's hard. The O's are fine. And then on the back, it's just going to say, put it on a shirt. That's my idea is every shirt says put it on a shirt, but we'll see if that gets approved.
I feel like you got to get he's a good kid shirts.
Maybe. Oh, without a doubt. Good kids, holy shirts and pants, the whole nine yards.
Everything Ryan says, all his phrases.
Oh, yeah. And he has a million of them that he's picked up over the years that through the clubhouse. I mean, baseball players, it's no secret they love their weird phrases.
Yeah. Here's the 1-1 to Estrada, swing and a miss, tied him up inside. It's 1-2 as Seidel looks to work a 1-2-3 sixth.
And this would be massive for the Dash. For Seidel to come in here, if he can get a 1-2-3 inning, you get the offense right back out there. You got some base runners on last inning. Obviously, it didn't turn out to be any runs, but you're just hoping that you can stay afloat. Nice play by the shortstop.
Hot shot to short on one hop. Sprinkle has it, throws to first, and the Dash flashing the leather here. In the bottom of the sixth, a couple of hits taken away, and the inning is over. Ground ball to third, ground ball to second, ground ball to short, and that is how the bottom of the sixth ends. Birds go down in order, but they lead it 4-0 through sixth. We'll head to the top of the seventh after this on the Iron Birds Broadcast Network. Four nothing Ironbirds over the Dash. We go to the top of the seventh inning. Right-hander Nestor Hermann back to work. Levi Wells started for the Birds, went four shutout innings, picked up five strikeouts, and Nestor Hermann has worked the last two scoreless out of the pen. Top of the seventh, first pitch ground ball foul up the third baseline from the four-hole hitter Ryan Galini with Wes Kath and Casey Saukie to follow. We've got Zach Bollinger from the Ryan Ripken Show with me in the booth tonight, and Zach, before the last commercial break, we were talking about Ryan Ripken Show merch and what you guys have cooking. I mean, there's a lot that you guys can do, and I know whatever you guys come up with is going to be good. I feel like some quarter zips would hit too.
Oh, quarter zips. I feel like we've hit all the versatile things. Quarter zips are one of those things where it doesn't even really matter the time of year. Pretty much from we could use one last night all the way up until that March, even early April, a quarter zip for such a large majority of the year is just as versatile as you can get. Bring it, you know, light quarter zip. You can toss on when you're cold, toss on when there's a little heat. It's just, it's incredible.
I feel like you guys could Like, in terms of non-clothing merch, mm-hmm. I think that's something that people don't think about always, but, like, some koozies for those for the tailgates.
Oh, a koozie would... Mike, this is why we keep you around, for the ideas like this.
1-1, ground ball foul, third base side. I mean, I'm generating ideas. I mean, that's what we're doing.
It's just out here. This is pretty much a business meeting at this point.
I'm a consultant. You guys have brought me into the fold as a consultant.
The merch consultant. Got koozies, bucket hats, and quarter zips. So far, you've put out nothing but incredible
ideas.
That's
a big three. I mean, you can use all three at the same time.
Yeah, I was just about to say, right there, you have yourself set for the day.
Ball and two strikes on Galini. Herman ready, next pitch, fouled away. Count stays at 1-2. So, I mean, I'm excited to see when this merch line drops. And just to see, the different variety, the different colors.
Yeah, it should be exciting. You know, it's one of those things where I've always wanted, like, you know, merchandise. I think it's such a cool idea. So, you know, now that we're about a year into doing everything, we're like, this should be the time where we start designing that stuff. So super excited. Hopefully in the next month or so, we'll get that out there for people to start picking up.
I feel like you guys could do a shirt, too, with all five of your heads, like in like a cartoon version mm-hmm. of them on the back.
That actually, now, Mike, once again, we're just incredible ideas. Just nothing but incredible ideas have come out of here.
I'm feeling it right now.
I hope someone is writing this down at home.
I'll have to grab the broadcast clip and send it to you after. But yeah, like the how you guys have the Kevin and Zach react.
Yeah,
logo.
The cartoon ones. That's perfect.
2-2, hard hit ground ball to the left side. It sneaks through into left field off of Young's glove. He wanted that one, but just a little bit too far out of his reach. A leadoff base hit for Ryan Galini after a lengthy at-bat. Birds still lead it 4-0, though, here in the top of the seventh. So, yeah, I mean, you know, just the five of you. Ryan, of course, mm-hmm. Ryan, Zach, Brad, Rocco, Kevin. Like, all five of you in cartoon form on the back of the shirt.
That could be incredible. Probably would have to put, just because Kevin... I'm salty about the no-hitter here. We'll put him at the bottom of the shirt.
Well, he's the shortest. He has to go in front anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So we can – it works out anyway.
Here's a bunt right in front of the home plate area. Retzbach picks it up. Strong throw to first. Not in time. Well, Herman let Retzbach take it. That ball just kept rolling on that turf, Zach. I thought it was just going to die there. But it kept going out towards the mound. Retz had to go a long way for that. And he did everything he could, but it's an infield base hit for Kath. 2-1 with no outs.
I mean, you said it perfectly there. I wasn't even sure that bunt was getting out of the batter circle. And then suddenly it made it all the way up to where the pitcher is. And I think that's what confused the Ironbirds. Herman thought, hey, this is going to die right in front. You go grab it. Everyone kind of stopped for a second. And there was that slight hesitation that really led to the batter being safe there.
First pitch misses inside to Casey Saukey, the right fielder. This is a big spot in the game right now. Tying run is in the on-deck circle. We're in the top of the seventh inning. The Birds have the dash down to their final 9 outs, but this is still a game. Galini at second, Kath at first. Base hit to left, then a bunt base hit. Now Herman to the plate. Fought off foul. It's 1-1. Well, right now we talked earlier, Zach, about how at the time it was runner at third, 1 out, Birds up 2-0. And if the dash had gotten that run in, okay, but you want them to score that run by making it out. Now you want them, if a runner is going to advance to third base here or second base, you at least want to get an out of it.
Yeah, you're looking for ground ball here. Ground ball or strikeout would be ideal.
1-1, fouled off. It's 1-2.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing is taking control. I feel like that's been the biggest theme from Ironbirds pitchers so far this game is the ability to take control of an at-bat, especially these big at-bats. You know, we've seen the dash get guys on second, get runners on, but it hasn't really flustered the pitcher so far in Wells and Herman. They've been able to work through it, and you're hoping that they can do the same here.
Herman steps off, looks the runner back to second, and the count is still 1-2. Shutout win last night. Shutout is intact right now. The Birds pitching staff has not allowed a run since the sixth inning on Sunday against Greenville. Chance for back-to-back shutouts. 1-2, foul back. An 18-inning scoreless streak for the Ironbirds pitching staff. Can they make it 19? Herman right now still looking for out number one before he can worry about getting the final out of the inning. But what a roll this Birds pitching staff is on. A ball and two strikes on Saukie. Next pitch. High chopper off the turf out to short. Young has it. Tough play. Throw to first in time. Carter Young fired that ball over to first, and it just beat Saukie to the bag. A big-time play.
Yeah, when you talk about ground balls, we said you'd like to get an out if they're going to move the runners over. At that point, you are just happy. You don't even care that the runners moved over. You're just happy you got an out on that. That high chopper seemed to hang up there for a million years, and I'm sure it felt like that for Young as well. But the nice, strong, quick throw over to first gets him out.
So one out, runners at second and third. Birds still lead it by four. So the Birds will keep the middle infielders back and the corner infielders even with their respective bags. Here's the left-handed hitting catcher, Calvin Harris.
Yeah.
First pitch check swing. Did he go around? He did. The home plate umpire, Nick Mull, made that call.
And this is one of those massive situations. Harris has a triple already in this game, and so he's looking to get extra bases again, get a single, and cut this lead in half. If you're the Iron Birds, obviously you're looking for an out no matter, even if it scores a run or not.
A one pitch, swing and a miss, nasty. Well, for those keeping track at home, I just mentioned it, the Iron Birds pitching staff has not allowed a run in their last 18 full innings. Their season high for most consecutive scoreless innings as a staff is 19. They did that from May 22nd, the top of the first inning, through the top of the first inning on May 24th. They had back-to-back shutouts that contributed to that. We'll see what happens here in the inning with that streak on the line. No balls and two strikes on Harris. Pitch skipped in the dirt and Rhett's with a big block to keep that in front. And I will point out that keeping the shutout intact is not the priority. The win is the priority.
Yes, without a
doubt.
So,
I mean, if a couple runs are going to score, not a big deal. But
and that's why you're willing to exchange an out for a run here. You'll take that trade any day of the week if you're the Iron Birds. Get two outs on the scoreboard. Yes, you allow a run, but you still have that three-run cushion if it happens. You're taking outs are more important than runs in this inning.
So Herman just stepped off, and I like that step off from Herman. 1-2, it's a big pitch right now. Mm-hmm. Second and third with only one out. Still a four-run game. He wanted to make sure he's on the same page as Retzbach, so those two will chat.
Now it seems as if the Dash third base coach are maybe asking for some sort of balk or maybe something they saw that they felt could have maybe gotten that run in without having to do anything. So they seem to be asking why it wasn't a balk. Not sure he got the answer he was looking for from his reaction.
Yeah, Guillermo Quiroz, he's pleading his case. He's done it throughout this game, and it just has not worked in his advantage. Ball and two strikes on Harris. Big pitch coming up, second and third, one out. Here it is, swing and a miss, breaking ball down in the zone, and Herman picks up a massive strikeout. So two outs, and now everybody in the infield can move back, but Zach, we talked about it, just any out, even if a run comes in to score, not a big deal with the four-run lead, but if you can keep the shutout bin intact, even better.
Yeah, shutouts always feel a little bit better than non-shutouts, but what a massive pitch there by Herman. Like you talked about, he had the wherewithal to step off, say, hey, this is a big pitch. We need to be on the same page for this. They go out there, get the strikeout on the very next pitch, and now you're sitting there two outs. An out, you don't even worry about a run scoring. You just get it out of there and go on and try to get some more runs for yourself.
Here's Eddie Park with runners at second and third and two down. Shutout intact, 4-0 lead. Herman taking his time. 1-0. Ground ball out to second. Weakly hit. Estrada comes up on it. Has to hurry. Throw to first is in time. And the inning is over. Well, Nestor Herman did an excellent job getting out of second and third one out after he got out of runner at third one out in the previous inning. So the shutout bid is intact. 19 straight scoreless innings from the Ironbirds pitching staff. That ties the season high. And we'll head to the bottom of the seventh inning. Time to stretch here in the Dean. Birds up 4-0. Stay locked in on MILB TV and Bally Live. 4-0 Ironbirds over the Dash, home half of the seventh inning. 19 straight scoreless innings for the Ironbirds pitching staff. The last time they gave up a run was the sixth inning on Sunday against Greenville. And now here is Tomas Sosa leading off the bottom of the seventh against right-hander Billy Seidel, who worked a 1-2-3 sixth inning. Three ground ball outs, and now he's back to work. See what Sosa can do. He doubled and scored in the first. He is 1-for-3. And now he hits a hard-hit ground ball that's past the diving second baseman Schiappelli into right. And the leadoff man is on for the Birds, Zach, as they look for some insurance.
Yeah, and, you know, that's kind of been the big thing we've been talking about, is when you have these opportunities, the offense is getting guys on, especially for a team that has struggled to score runs at times recently. You want to take advantage as much you can. Keep that momentum going, because we see in baseball all the time the momentum from one game can carry over. You get guys' confidence up, they start taking better swings, and that's kind of the best-case scenario here. So you'd love to see some more runs come.
Sosa takes off for second right away. Pitch is called a strike. Throw down is on the money, but the tag missed, and Sosa got under it.
What a swim move by Sosa there. Like you said, ball beats him by maybe two steps, pulls the left hand up with a little bit of a swim move, gets by him, and now he's sitting in scoring position, no outs.
Well, you saw the second baseman Schiappelli there kind of go up with the tag, mm-hmm. and of course now the infielders are really taught now, if you receive it up, keep it down. If you receive it down, still keep it down. But he went up after he received it down.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what lost him there. So the second stolen base of the game for Tomas Sosa. It's the Birds' third of the game overall. And now Elio Prado is up. He is 0-for-0 with three walks. The count is 1-1 on him.
Yeah, and I think you would, for Sosa, two balls that beat him to second base but finds a way on both times. You know, didn't say it was always easy stealing bases, but he certainly is finding different ways. But honestly, just super impressed by Calvin Harris behind the plate. He's been throwing some dots all game. Yeah. Already thrown a guy out. It seems every ball that he's thrown down to second, whether out or safe, is at least beating the runner.
Ground ball back to the pitcher, Seidel. Sosa dives back to second. Throw goes to first. Prado retired on the 1-3 putout. Well, that was headed up the middle, or at least behind the second base bag. Maybe one of the middle infielders gets it. But if nothing else, it would have moved Sosa over if Seidel didn't glove it, but he did. Sosa got back to the bag, though. Prado's retired, but Zach, these 2-through-5 hitters, Sosa, Prado, Willems, and Cunningham, now the fourth time through the order, they have combined to reach base safely 10 times tonight between the four of them.
Yeah, and that's what you want from the middle of your order. You need the production from there, especially, as we've said, with a team who has struggled over the past few games where they've had games where they've been shut out. Two shutout losses last week. Only you win last night, but you only score a run. So it's taken time. It's not like the offense has been on fire recently, so when your big boys are hitting and they're producing, that's what you need in a time like this.
Willems is 1-for-1 with a single and two walks in that order. He scored one of the four runs for the Birds. Aberdeen with two in the first, two in the fifth. Nothing on the scoreboard for the Dash. Willems checked his swing, but he went a little bit too far. It's 1-2. Each team with six hits in the game.
And that's the big thing. Each team has six hits. Ironbirds have four, Dash have zero. And the big reason for that is three walks from the Ironbirds have come around to score of the four runs.
Seidel looks at second. Sosa takes off for third. Pitch misses. The throw down is on the money, but it's just a little bit late. Another strong throw from Harris behind the dish. But Tomas Sosa has been a menace on the base path tonight. He has his third stolen base.
Put pressure on the defense and make them make a play, especially with a 4-0 lead. You really, even though I hate to say you don't have anything to lose because no lead is safe in baseball, it gives you a little bit more wiggle room to be aggressive, put pressure on them, and make them make a play. We talked about Harris has pretty much beaten Sosa to the bag twice already, but Sosa is finding a way to, even though it's a perfect throw, he's getting safe and just puts himself now. They don't even need a hit to score him.
Infield's in all the way around, 3-2 to Willems. That's low, ball four. So he is on for the fourth time tonight in four trips to the plate. And now the 2-through-5 hitters have reached base safely 11 times. And they have only been retired, if I'm looking at my scorebook right, they've only been retired four times combined between.
And
not bad.
Not bad at all. And we're talking about there's a guy you want up right now for the Ironbirds. It's Shea Cunningham.
So Cunningham steps into the right-handed batter's box with runners at first and third, one out in the home half of the seventh. Birds 4-0. Cunningham looking for his third hit of the night. He has 2 doubles and 3 RBIs. First pitch on the outer half, and the count is 0-1. Well, I normally don't talk about it in advance, but I sat down with Jake for an interview today that I'm going to play on tomorrow's pregame show, so Ironbirds fans, stay tuned for that. No balls and a strike. Cunningham looking to stay hot. Seidel looks over his shoulder at first. Now to the plate, Cunningham takes a strike. It's 0-2. I mean, this guy just looks so locked in right now.
Yeah, and he's not fazed by two quick strikes. They weren't his pitch, so he's saying, hey, you can get that. You're not getting me to ground into a double play right here.
And he'll be a tough guy to double up anyway. He runs extremely well. Good speed at third with Sosa out there. 0-2, chopper to short. The shortstop sprinkle backs up. His throw to second is wide, and everybody's safe. Willems is heading for third. Here's the throw. It's late. Another run is in for the Birds, and it's still first and third after the infield grounder off of Cunningham's bat. It's 5-0 Aberdeen. Weird sequence, but everybody's safe, and that's what happens when you put the ball in play, Zach.
Yeah, and the infield was playing up. They're trying to cut down that run from third, and that was kind of the difference. They were playing the double play up in the middle, gets slightly to the right of Sprinkle. He has to go back, and pretty much once he got a little bit off balance to receive the ball, it was over from there.
Cunningham takes off for second. Throw down from Harris is right on the money, and he throws out his second attempted base stealer of the night. So Cunningham cut down trying to get into scoring position, but even though he's thrown out there, Zach, he has 4 RBIs tonight, and I don't think he'll get a hit for that chopper to short. It's going to be a fielder's choice and then an error. But 4 RBIs tonight, his 4th multi-hit game. He's been at high A since last Tuesday.
Yeah, definitely the start you want to see from him.
Swing and a miss from Carter Young. It's 0-2. Well, Calvin Harris behind the dish is keeping the dash in this game right now.
Yeah, I mean, with the bat, he's got the triple. Then he's gunning guys out at second. He honestly probably should have 2 or 3 more outs for caught stealing. But just he's delivering a perfect ball almost every time on steal attempts.
Willems at third, 0-2. Fly ball to center field. Park over in that right center gap a little bit, makes the catch, and the inning is finally over. Well, the Ironbirds only sent 5 batters to the plate that inning. It felt like a lot more. It was a very eventful inning. The Birds grabbed a run. They did it on one hit. There was an error. They leave one, and it's 5-0 after 7 full. We'll see if the Birds can throw up another zero. Nestor Herman back to work. Top of the 8th after this on the Birds Broadcast Network. Top of the 8th inning here in Aberdeen. Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger with you on the call. It's the Birds 5 and the Dash nothing. The Ironbirds pitching staff has not allowed a run since the 6th inning on Sunday against Greenville. Off day Monday, shutout win last night. And so far a shutout bid intact here through 7. Nestor Herman back to work. He gets Jordan Sprinkle, the nine-hole hitter. First pitch strike to Sprinkle. And the count is 0-1. Sprinkle, then Nishida and Schiappelli. Birds picked up another run in the bottom of the seventh. Jake Cunningham, an RBI fielder's choice grounder. He has four RBIs tonight. 0-1. Q shot up the first baseline. It's 0-2. Now, I know, Zach, we were talking earlier about rainbow sprinkles and chocolate sprinkles. I mean, those are the two staples. But so I'm a Penn State grad, and at the Berkey Creamery on Penn State's campus, which is phenomenal, they have blue and white sprinkles there.
Oh, I was just about to say, I feel like
for Penn State, yeah,
that's, you know, when you get creative with the sprinkles, it's a game changer, especially something like that. You know, a little school pride in the sprinkles.
Yeah.
There's nothing better.
0-2 pitch from Herman just missed off the plate. Man, that looked good. Somebody just yelled from the crowd that was a strike.
And I'm sure Herman agrees with them. I'm not sure really where that missed. Very borderline call, but, hey, you get some of those sometimes.
1-2 pitch. That one missed a little bit further outside. The count 2-2 on Jordan Sprinkle. So if you ever find yourself up in State College, PA, well, first let me know. And second, go to the Creamery, grab some ice cream, get a little blue and white sprinkles.
Yeah, I think I have to now. I got to try the blue and white sprinkles.
2-2, swing and a miss. He chased out of the zone, down in the zone, and Nestor Herman has his second strikeout, or excuse me, fourth strikeout. I was looking at the wrong thing in my book. But one up, one down here in the eighth. Back to the top for Nishida.
And Herman's just impressed me. Even when he's allowed guys to get on base, just his ability to find the strikeout at the right time, get out of it, the heart rate doesn't seem to accelerate at all, even when the situation gets big.
Back to the top for Nishida. Herman ready, swinging a miss. Splitter down in the zone. I mean, he's just carving him up right now. And, yeah, you mentioned Herman. I mean, he just looks like he is so calm out on the mound. Like, nothing will faze this dude.
And that's what you need from a pitcher, especially as they rise through the ranks, is you want a guy who, even when the situation is getting big, he needs a big pitch. We saw him a few times. The quick step off, the recollect himself, make sure that the batter knows he's in control of this, and then get the out.
0-1, missed a little low. And that step off in the last inning was second and third, one out. That's not going to show up in the box score.
Yeah.
But that is a big spot in this game. And the fact that he had the awareness to do it, just collect himself. I mean, just to make sure he's on the same page with Retzbach and all of that.
Yeah, it's maturity right there.
1-1 pitch, swing and a miss. Very delayed swing from Nishida there. He's late on it, and the count is 1-2. Herman has a chance to pick up his fifth strikeout. Still no walks from this Ironbirds pitching staff tonight, and that's been a big difference in this game. Herman with a glove in front of his face. Out of the windup, the 1-2 just missed. Man, he's been close on those 0-2 pitches.
Yeah, and that's the best thing you want to see if you're the Ironbirds, is especially from a pitching staff standpoint, is even his misses are right on the corner. He's nibbling around, and he's got great control right now.
Two balls and two strikes. Another one from Herman. Ground ball out to second. Estrada is there. He's been busy tonight. Throws over to first. It's in time, and it's two up, two down here in the eighth. Nestor Herman just doing his thing out there. Levi Wells started for the Birds. Four innings of two-hit baseball, struck out five, and again, the no walks. Nestor Herman so far tonight, 3 1/3 on four hits with four strikeouts and no walks. I mean, Zach, that's a huge difference in this game right now. For the Birds pitching staff, 9 strikeouts, no walks. The Dash pitching staff, only 2 strikeouts and 8 walks.
Yeah, like we said, 3 of the 5 runs have become off of walks, and it really, or even 4, because was the last inning as well.
Sosa singled.
So it is 3 of 5 walks. Walks are a big difference in this game. It's the difference between it being 5-0 and a 2-0.
0-1, low and away. Counts 1-1 on Loydell Schiappelli, who is 0-for-3 with a couple of strikeouts and a pop-out. I mean, this Dash lineup has just had no answer for Wells and Herman tonight. Fruit, Beck, and Chandler last night, same thing. 1-1, swing and a miss. And now Nestor Herman is one strike away from making it 20 straight scoreless innings for this Ironbirds pitching staff, an impressive feat that would set a new season high. You know, that was one 19 straight a couple months ago when they had back-to-back shutouts and carried it into the next game. I didn't think that was going to get broken this year.
But we're one pitch away from seeing it.
1-2 pitch, high and away. Well, that guy behind home plate is making his presence known tonight. We keep hearing the same guy in the crowd.
He is fired up. I mean, we talk about players getting fired up. We got to know what his walk-up song would be.
Send somebody down to ask me next half inning. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Birds lead at 5-0 here in the eighth. Next pitch from Herman. On the outside corner, a called strike three. Six strikeouts for Nestor Herman in relief tonight, and it's 20 straight scoreless innings for the Iron Birds pitching staff. Another shutout bid is through eight, but before the Birds can close it out in the ninth, we'll go to the home half of the eighth and see if the Iron Birds can add to their 5-0 lead. Stick with us on MILB TV and Bally Live. Five nothing Iron Birds over the dash. Bottom of the eighth inning here in Aberdeen. Birds lead it. They have two runs in the first, two in the fifth, one in the seventh. The Iron Birds pitching staff has not allowed a run over the last 20 innings, a new season high. Here's Anderson De Los Santos. First pitch swinging, fouls it back. Counts 0-1. Right-hander Carson Jacobs is the new pitcher for the dash. Billy Seidel done after two innings of one-run ball. Jacobs, the fourth pitcher of the night for Winston-Salem. Birds will take at least a 5-run lead into the top of the ninth inning, but looking for more. And Zach, got to get you to continue to climb that runs in the booth leaderboard. Right now you're at 5, looking good. And you
I tied my last one, but I would love to take the lead here.
Yeah, so you had 5 and a win last time. Right now we're looking at 5. You know, unless something crazy happens, we're looking at a W. And you got the shutout bid intact.
Yeah, and I do have to say, we talked about it in between innings when Carson Jacobs got on the mound. We were like, wow, talk about just a massive human. Just looked up, 6'9". 6'9", at least on MILB.com. It states that 215. So this guy is towering over, especially when he's sitting on that mound. It's got to feel like he is right over top of you.
2-1, swing and a miss at a breaking ball. It's 2-2. 6'9", I mean, most guys, he towers over most guys, but 7-foot left-hander Jared Beck in the Iron Birds bullpen's like, hold my beer.
Yeah, he's like, hey, you know, if we want to get a height contest going here, there's the 6'9" looks great on paper until a 7-footer comes in the room.
But it is like, that's the first thing that we both noticed when Jacobs took them out. We're like, this guy's huge.
Yeah, I was like, he's a lot taller than the other guys that have been on the mound.
You're right. I mean, just an imposing figure on the mound, and the force he generates towards the plate, it feels like he's probably on top of you when he releases the baseball. As that pitch misses low, counts full.
Yeah, and he's got a big stride, so he really is probably releasing the baseball a lot closer than other pitchers. And it's that little split second that he wins that can really be a difference between a hit, a strikeout, or just, you know, a pop-up.
Birds looking to add some more runs. We got to get Zach some more in that run column. There's a called strike three. De Los Santos takes it. And he is gone for out number one here in the eighth. Zach, I got to ask you this question before this game wraps up. So one of the big things for baseball fans, and you know, we've seen it on social media. It's the 999 challenge: 9 hot dogs, 9 beers, 9 innings. Now, I know we've joked about it, like, I've, you know, on social media and stuff, talking about doing that challenge. Have you ever done it? Have you ever attempted it?
No, I've not, but I need to. We're putting something in the works. I believe I'm going to this season.
Okay. Well, I think – see, like, you just look like the kind of guy who could do it.
I feel like I can. I think that's the issue, is I have too much confidence that it's going to be easy, and that's not how I should be going into this. I think I'm overlooking it in some aspects.
The reason I bring it up, because I want to know, as Adam Retzbach stands in the box with the count 1-1 against right-hander Carson Jacobs – next pitch to Retz. Line drive to left field. Nishida racing in. He makes the catch, and it's two outs. Retz hit it on the screws, but he is retired. So two gone, no one on in the eighth. I got to ask you, between you and your four co-hosts on the Ryan Ripken show, who would be your toughest competition among the other four guys? We're talking Ryan, Brad, Kevin, and Rocco.
I hate to give him credit, but I think Rocco might be. I think Ryan's the easy pick.
I was thinking Brad, to be honest.
Yeah, Brad's a dark horse in it. It's really tough. I would destroy Kevin. Kevin has already said he can't eat more than one hot dog in a sitting, so that takes him completely out of contention.
He's a big corn dog guy, not
a
hot dog guy.
Exactly. I just think Rocco is, he would sneakily compete. I've also just seen Rocco take down full DiGiorno pizzas at like ridiculous hours of the night.
Brad was talking about that last Friday. That's so funny that you bring that up.
Yeah, I'm glad Rocco left a real impact with everyone on doing that. That was a tough night for all of us. I don't think anyone, there was a lot of confusion of why it was on stream too. It was after an Orioles game. It was a late night Orioles game over in Oakland, I believe. Yeah. And it was about 3 a.m. and he was making multiple DiGiorno pizzas, and it was just not going. Just not what we wanted to see at 3 a.m.
That's a four-pitch walk to Noelberth Romero. That's the ninth walk issued by the Dash pitching staff tonight. Well, we know Italians can eat. I mean, that's a fact. But like, I'm not a hot dog guy. Like, I can't do that challenge. Like, I would not do well. It would have to be a team challenge for me. But I was curious. Like, so when I was thinking of that, asking you that question, I was thinking like my pick would have been Brad.
Yeah, I think Brad
and
is
I don't
definitely
know why.
I think Brad would be my, like, trying to figure out. I think Brad is just a sneaky pick where he could be one of those guys where you're chugging through and suddenly you're like, wow, Brad is neck and neck with me.
Yeah.
Rocco's a guy I think you don't see coming out of anywhere, and just he beats you almost. Like he's kind of got the psycho, like he would just go for it and he'd regret it, but I think he would go in just no holds barred, just go for it. And I that's what scares me about Rocco, right, is I think he would just go in full confidence, out in the wind, and just say, hey, I'm sending this.
Yeah. Counts 0-2 on Estrada, the leadoff man, up for the fifth time tonight. He's hitless, but he reached on a walk in the second. Birds lead at 5-0 with Romero at first and two gone. Jacobs with a long pause. Now to the plate, low and away. Ball skips in front of the dirt, but Harris keeps it in front. He's been really good tonight, and the count is 1-2. Like, I think you're onto something. Like, Brad would go into the contest just kind of like
nonchalant,
be in there, and then like all of a sudden he sneaks up, like he's pacing himself, and he hangs.
He would have the best strategy. I think that's the thing. Is I think Rocco's
going just like full into
it. Like Rocco would eventually burn out. I think around 7 he would burn out, but I think Brad would be the guy that like keeps a steady pace going the entire time.
Yeah.
And then like you're neck and neck at the end.
And I mean Rip, like, I mean he's tall and lanky, like he's got, you know, former athlete, like, you know, athletes can eat. Like he's got a fast metabolism, so I feel like that would help him.
Yeah, I think he's the obvious one for the best competition, but I can't give him that satisfaction on this. So that's why I'm going to go. I mean, it hurts even more giving Rocco the satisfaction. But I think Rocco would be I don't think he finishes. I think he just gets to, like, 7 or 8 the quickest.
Okay.
Before burning out.
Which, I mean, that's – and, like, you know, that's not the best
– Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the best strategy. I don't know what my strategy would be. I think, unfortunately, I would kind of go too recklessly into it at first. But if I can keep a cool, calm head and really just focus on the task at hand, I think I can do it.
3-2 pitch. Romero was off on the pitch. That's outside. 10 walks for the Ironbirds tonight, and the patient approach continues. So first and second with two down in the home eighth, and that brings up Tomas Sosa looking for his third hit of the night. He's already scored two runs as well, and he has three stolen bases. Like, I wouldn't even know how to approach it either. Like, I feel like, you know, the goal is you got to, you can't, like, eat two in the first inning. Like,
yeah.
For example, like, you have to go, like, if you finish your one beer and your one hot dog in the first inning, like, you can't start the next one until the second inning. So I feel like you'd almost have to go liquid first and then the solid food. Like, I feel like you'd get hungrier.
Like, yeah,
drink hot dog.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best. And then maybe towards the end, I don't know if I'd switch up strategy. That's the other thing. It's, do I stick to a strategy or am I going off kind of like a manager in a baseball game? Am I going off the feel of the game or am I looking more analytics?
Oh, you know? Yeah, like, you know, like you can't play the game off a spreadsheet. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
To play on the field. So, I mean, that's interesting. As the Dash meet on the mound, the battery mates Harris and Jacobs talk things over. And I appreciate them taking that mound visit to give us some more time to talk about this.
I think they knew we were talking about it, and they were like, we got to give them time.
Like, I think you do have to go in with the plan in front of you. Like, like, what are my, like, instead of lefty-righty splits, what are my hot dog beer splits?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to go off of that, and I think you have to, like, if you go down swinging, you're okay with it.
Yeah.
But you're not going down looking. Like, if you go down and stick to your process, like, you're okay with that when your head hits the pillow at
exactly.
night.
Exactly. Yeah, and, you know, it is one of those things where I think early on you have to look at, like you said, the analytics, the matchups. You know, you stick to the plan, you do it, and then as it gets into those late innings, you have to start questioning, okay, do we just go for it? Are we bringing in, you know, those final two innings? We're saying, you know, plan's done. We're going with Old Reliable. Just get it down. You know, it's like the closer. It's like no matter what ninth inning, there's no strategy. We know what we're doing.
Yeah, there's so much that goes into it. Well, the Ironbirds just completed a double steal. So Estrada's at second and Romero's at third. And Harris didn't even bother throwing. Counts 2-1 on Sosa, who takes low. And the count is now 3-1. The Birds had two outs, no one on. Walk. And now the count is 3-1 on Sosa. So, I mean, they could load the bases on free passes. And then give Elio Prado a shot. We'll see what happens. But a big pitch coming here from Carson Jacobs as he tries to keep it a 5-0 game. 3-1 outside, ball four. Another walk for this Ironbirds team. That's 11 in the game, three in a row. And all of a sudden, Zach Jacobs has just lost the strike zone. And the pitching coach for the Dash, John Kovalik, is out to chat.
Yeah, and it feels like it really was. Like you said, two outs, nobody on. It looked like Jacobs was going to have a pretty clean inning. I liked how he was getting ahead of the count. And then it kind of just, he lost the strike zone. And we talked about nothing good happens after a walk. I can assure you, usually things don't happen good after three consecutive walks either.
Yeah, so here's Prada who can really break this thing open. And Zach, just to wrap up the convo about the 999 challenge, hypothetically, I think pre-pitch clock baseball would make it a lot easier to complete that challenge.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough.
Without a doubt.
It's really tough now.
Yeah, and that's the part that people aren't talking about. You know, the pitch clock impacted a lot of things, and the 999 challenge is probably at the top of that list.
I think, like, for the flow of the game, like, you would need an inning like this in, like, the third or fourth inning to really just help you out.
Like, if we're talking a game like last night here where it's an hour 59, that is, yeah, you're there's no point of even trying. You know, you're not going to be successful on that night.
Yeah, and then you got to have the factor of, like, who's going to get the drinks and the dogs for you, because you can't do that during the game. You got to stay focused and stay put.
Yeah, so. You know, it's like a boxer. It's like a pitcher in the dugout. You know, in between innings, you can't be going, talking to people, all that. You have a job. You are there for a reason. And you got to get that task done before play happens. Yeah.
So the count is 2-1 on Prado with the bases loaded in the bottom of the eighth inning. Birds lead at 5-0, trying to complete their second straight shutout win. They've already have back-to-back shutout wins this year. See if they can do it again. Carson Jacobs laboring out there, 2-1. Prado grounds it foul up the third baseline, and the count is 2-2. Well, the Birds can close this thing out in the top of the ninth. They will take that 5-run lead into the ninth. I mean, very comfortable with that lead, especially with the way this pitching staff is throwing the baseball. But We're looking to get you some more runs, Zach.
Yeah, selfishly, I would love a grand slam.
2-2 pitch, fly ball, deep left field. Riku Nishida is back, and he camps under it shy of the track, inning over. I mean, I wasn't thinking off the bat that was getting out, but as soon as you said it and it's a fly ball, I'm like, wow, no way.
That's where I was hoping for the wind to take it.
Yeah, so Prado flies out. Birds leave him loaded. No runs, no hits, no errors in the inning. But it's 5-0 Ironbirds as we go to the top of the ninth inning. Birds looking for their second straight shutout win. See if they can make it happen. New arm coming in. Tell you about who it is when we come back here on the Ironbirds Broadcast Network. Top of the ninth inning from Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Michael Marcantonini and Zach Bollinger from the Ryan Ripken Show with you on the call. It's been a really fun night here in the Dean. Birds put up some early runs. They've scored later in the game to extend the lead. 5-0 here, top nine. And the Birds are going for their second straight shutout win. Zach, it's just overall been an incredible night for this Birds team.
Yeah, offensively, pitching, it seems like this has been a complete game from every single batter, from every single pitcher that's gone out on the mound. And, you know, you would love for it to be rewarded with a shutout win, a nice 5-0 dub.
Right-hander Hayden Nierman is the new pitcher for the Birds. He gets 3-4-5, Connor, Galaney, and Kath. We'll see what Nierman can do. Connor is 1-for-3 tonight, singled back in the fourth. 5 runs on 6 hits, no errors for the Birds. 0 runs on 6 hits, 1 error for the Dash. 1-0 win for the Birds last night. They lead at 5-0 here. And now Nierman trying to close it out in a non-save situation. Pitch misses inside from the sidewinder. It's 2-1. Nierman has spent a lot of time on the injured list the last 2 years, but he is back healthy, and it's great to see it. Swing and a miss there. It's 2-2. Final line on Nestor Hermann. 4 innings, no runs, 4 hits, 5 Ks, no walks. 65 pitches, 44 strikes.
Between Wells and Hermann, just beautiful pitching tonight by the Ironbirds, especially the first two guys out there. You would love for Nierman to go out here and have a clean Nur inning after he gives up the one or no out single to start the inning. Maybe get through this without any damage, control that, keep that shutout going. But we want to talk about the first two guys, as good as you could get.
Leadoff base hit for Caden Connor. He has 4 hits in 2 games this series, 40% of the Dash hits the last 2 nights. So he's getting it done in that 3-hole. Here's Ryan Galaney. First pitch fouled back. The Ironbirds pitching staff is riding a 20-inning scoreless streak right now. That's a season high. And yeah, Zach, to your point, 4 shutout frames from Wells, 4 from Hermann, both pitching exceptionally well. How about Nestor Hermann going 14 up, 14 down in his last outing and then goes four shutout frames tonight. It's really hard to follow up what he did the last time out, but he did it in a big way.
And you have to be so stoked if you're the Ironbirds to see a guy like him who you can have now be that guy that comes out and you have so much confidence in. And it gets me excited for Herman as he grows, because you saw the biggest thing that I noticed was it didn't matter the situation, the heart rate. The heart rate never rose.
Well, Hayden Nierman just picked up a punch out, a called strike three on the outer half. Ryan Galani not happy with the call. Guillermo Quiroz, the Winston-Salem manager, also coaching third base, ran in to just kind of get his player Galani out of the way there. Didn't want him to get tossed or didn't want to deal with that. So it's just been like that kind of night for Winston-Salem. One out, one on. Here is a check swing from Kath, but he went a little bit too far around, and the count is 0-1. Add it to the sword bin right there.
That's got to be four already tonight. I say already as if it's not the ninth inning. But it really has just been a game where it felt like the Ironbirds pitchers were fooling the Dash all night.
Oh, and now the bat goes flying. A swing and a miss from Kath. He's going to have to get some pine tar on there. But the bat went flying all the way into foul ground up the first base line, past the first base dugout. Yeah, I mean, that's not a great feeling right there.
No, you get the sword on the first swing, and then you lose the bat on the second. You can't be feeling too confident looking for pitch three right here.
We got to have a term for that, like when you completely lose the bat.
Yeah.
And swing and
a miss. I'm surprised there isn't. I feel like there needs to be some stat of how many times you make a guy lose the bat.
Yeah, like there has to be some kind of like one or two word term that we could come up with. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, someone a lot smarter than me is going to have to do that.
Got
to
go in the lab and take some time.
Once again, if you're listening, write some stuff down. You know.
0-2 to the backstop. Actually, that got a piece of Kath. And if it got him, I mean, it might not have even hit his body. It might have just clipped jersey.
Yeah, that looked like it went straight back to the backstop. Didn't seem like it ricocheted too much. And Kath doesn't look like he's in too much pain right now. I think that grazed him or just got all jersey.
So first and second for Casey Saukey, the right fielder. Birds lead at 5-0, top nine. The shutout bid is intact, but the Dash are threatening. Birds looking for back-to-back shutouts for the second time this year and their ninth shutout win overall. Foul ball off the bat of Saukey. Nierman gets ahead. It's 0-1. So the other time the Birds had back-to-back shutout wins this year, May 22nd and 23rd at home against Jersey Shore, a 2-0 win and a 4-0 win. They gave up a total of 9 hits in those two games combined. Adam Retzbach, who's behind the dish tonight, has caught 3 of the Ironbirds' shutout wins this year. 0-1, high chopper to the right side. It's foul. See if he can catch his 4th. And that includes the no-hitter back on July 19th.
It's got to feel good to catch a no-hitter. Oh, like, obviously, yeah. It feels great for the pitchers, but even at, like, a combined no-hitter like it was, like, you were the constant, like, that's got to be so rewarding as a catcher.
Yeah, I think in a combined no-hitter, it might almost feel more rewarding to navigate two, three, four, sometimes five pitchers through that kind of outing.
Yeah, because, you know, you're getting thrown different pitches, different types of pitches. Everyone's got a different bag, different number of pitches. Who's throwing what? Who's confident in what? And you got to figure that out.
0-2, another punch
you're going.
Out for Nierman. So two strikeouts for Hayden Nierman in the ninth inning in between a single and a hit-by pitch. So Saukey down swinging, and Calvin Harris is the last hope for the Dash. So I know Calvin Harris is a famous musical artist. I don't really know a ton of his songs, at least by name. Are you a Calvin Harris guy?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Like, I know some of his, like, if I heard the songs, I'd be
well,
like,
yeah,
right,
so that's
that
the
song.
Thing, like, am I a Calvin Harris? Like, I know when I feel like Summer. Wasn't that a big one?
Yeah, fly ball deep left field. Sosa ranging back. He's there, and he makes the catch shy of the track. Back-to-back shutout wins for the Ironbirds. They win it 5-0 here on a Wednesday night in the Dean, and it feels good for the Birds to be back in the win column yet again. 3 straight wins for the Ironbirds. Harris flies out to deep left, and Hayden Nierman's scoreless ninth inning finishes it off. 21 straight scoreless innings for this Ironbirds pitching staff. They will take that season-high mark into tomorrow's Game 3 of this series. But, Zach, I mean, really, they just put it all together. I mean, I thought they put it all together last night with the 1-0 win, but, of course, more offense tonight. And this just felt like a really complete game.
It was a complete game by every single pitcher. All three pitchers seemed to be in control, especially Wells and Herman. You have guys like Jake Cunningham who just continue. Even though he didn't get the three, he made his impact. What was it? Ended up being four RBIs, I believe.
Yeah.
So everyone, it felt like the guys you want going, that middle of the lineup we talked about so much, was the catalyst this game. Really just a complete game from all facets of the team.
So another win for the Birds, three in a row. They've taken each of the first two games of this series with the Dash, and it is a great start for the Birds this week. Well, Hudson Valley was winning earlier. We'll check in just a minute what that game looks like. They are at home against Wilmington, and the reason why we are scoreboard watching is because Hudson Valley has a game-and-a-half lead on the Iron Birds, and even if Hudson Valley wins tonight, the Birds won, so they, at worst, are just keeping that pace going. But, Zach, I mean, this is a team that is playing some really good baseball with a very new roster. And the fact that these guys are gelling the way that they are, it's impressive to see what they're doing out on the field.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing. These guys want to be in these situations. You're playing meaningful baseball in September. You have the opportunity to go to the playoffs, extend your season. Yes, these guys haven't all been here the entire year, but it's awesome to see the second they get here, they're entrenched in it. They're going out there, and they want to help these guys win as much as possible.
I mean, that's big for player development. Of course, these guys developing individually and, you know, getting their work in. It's not always about the wins and losses, but when you can win games along the way, I mean, at the big league level, it's all about wins and losses. So if these guys can be in a winning environment when they're in the minor leagues, I mean, that's only going to help them moving forward. So I think it's great to see so many of these young guys, 19, 20, 21 years old, however old they are, however young they are, we should say, it's cool to see them get this experience and thriving in it.
Yeah, and it, like you said, it's only going to help them improve. The big moments, when each game means a little more, these guys have to learn to step up. Each moment, every big moment is a little bit bigger. When you're playing for something bigger than yourself, you're playing for this team that wants to go and be in the playoffs, wants to extend their season, get more opportunities. You got to play for each other as well, and you feel like this team is right now. And what a fun team. I mean, they hit the ball, they go, they steal bases, they're patient, work at bats. We saw 11 walks tonight, so really just all around an incredible night by the Ironbirds.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get you some final totals in this one, Ironbirds fans, but first I want to point out the difference in this game. Three Ironbirds pitchers combined for 12 strikeouts and a season-best no walks. On the flip side, four Winston-Salem pitchers combined to strike out just three, and they walked 11. So, I mean, just right there, that's pretty much the difference in the game. But with the win, the Ironbirds improved to 60-56 overall. They are 26-24 in the second half. Meanwhile, the Dash dropped to 54-62 overall and 23-27 in the second half. Five runs on six hits, no errors for the Ironbirds, no runs on seven hits, one error for the Dash. Nestor Herman picks up the win in relief. He is 2-0. The loss goes to Winston-Salem starter Lucas Gordon. He drops to 1-3. No save. Game was played in 2 hours and 35 minutes in front of 1,103 fans here at Leidos Field at Ripken Stadium. Well, Zach, this was one of the most fun broadcasts of the season. I mean, I knew it would be. We were both pumped up going into this game. Had you on as my first guest in the booth this year back on April 24th, the second homestand of the season, bringing you back with the Birds in the playoff hunt here in mid-August. It was great having you here, man. Overall for you, second time coming through the Dean. Yeah. How was it for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's always great. One, when I get to call a game with you, and two, when the Iron Birds are winning. Two games called, two wins, two five-run games. So I'm feeling good. It's just, it's always a good time here. And dare I say, where else would you rather be?
Where else would you rather be? The answer is
nowhere.
That's exactly it. We said it at the top of the broadcast. We'll finish off the broadcast that way as well. Well, Zach, I really appreciate you joining me. Fun broadcast. I mean, we covered a lot of topics. I mean, talking about walk-up songs and the 999 challenge and sprinkles. I mean,
if,
really, we
if you wanted it talked about, we probably covered it on this broadcast.
And you guys can go back in the archives and find out all my good ideas for Ryan Ripken Show merch. I mean, I know you will.
Oh, yeah. We have our people writing it down.
Yeah, I got to send y'all my address for that bucket hat whenever those are out.
Oh, we'll get it to you. Don't you worry.
Absolutely. My man, I appreciate it. Well, Zach Bollinger from the Ryan Ripken Show joining me in the broadcast. Really quick, Zach, what's next for you guys? I mean, I know we've touched on a little bit.
Football season is right around the corner, which is crazy to think about, especially when the Orioles are in the middle of a pennant race. But we're going to be covering both. We got pregame shows for the Ravens. We have I do postgame shows every single night after the Orioles game, win or lose. We got shows every Monday and Thursday. Lots of guests coming on. Lots of fun interviews. Some one-on-one interviews going down with Ryan and some other guests. It's just, it feels like every day we're getting to talk to more and more cool people. So a lot in store, and it's just been a blast.
Always good to see what you guys are doing and how much fun you guys are having and really, you know, putting your heart and soul into it. And I'm happy that I've been able to play a small role in it, hopping on the show a couple times. Looking forward to joining it again in the near future and seeing that studio once you guys got it finished.
Oh, yeah. New studio, little remake of it coming hopefully in the next week or two.
I love it. Well, co-host of the Ryan Ripken Show, Zach Bollinger, joining me on the broadcast tonight. You can follow him on Twitter at ZachBollinger18. So give him a follow. Great social media presence. Well, for my outstanding production crew here in Aberdeen and Zach Bollinger, my co-host, my name is Michael Mark Cantonini. Thanks for tuning in, Ironbirds fans. Thanks for flying with us. One more time, Zach, thanks for being here, my man.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Always a great day in the Dean.
Yeah, really fun broadcast tonight. We'll be back tomorrow, Ironbirds fans, or I'll be back tomorrow as the Birds look for their fourth win in a row, trying to get their third straight shutout win. We'll see if that can happen. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great rest of your